Okay, welcome everyone on Zoom. We'll be really focusing today on the Sigas, starting from Eirandom Pare Tochsmano, to Piron Betochsmano, Bepidion Aben Vischiros, and Habali Pare Menichse Yisomim, and Migo Makom Strach Abiyadi, my boy. Those are really four Sigas that we did, but it's really one big Sigya on Daf Hey, starting with Reish Lakish. So before we get into the Sigas individually, just to give the broader classical case of a Mava Lova that we're dealing with here. So let's say you have Shimon that's going to borrow $100 from Reuven. So if Shimon borrows $100 from Reuven, and Reuven now comes at Shas Piron to be able to go and collect the $100 from Shimon. So at first glance, we should assume Hamotzi Mechaveiro Avaraya, that Reuven, it's up to Reuven to bring, and Shimon's claiming that he already paid back Reuven. So we would say Hamotzi Mechaveiro Avaraya, and it's up to Reuven to bring the proof that Shimon didn't pay him back yet. However, if Reuven will come with a shtar, so then it'll be up to Shimon to prove that he paid back Reuven. Why? Because shtar chaviyadi, my boy. Reuven will have a good time now that Shimon, if you really paid me, so then you would have ripped up my shtar. So from the fact that I still have the shtar in the hand, clearly shows me that you didn't pay me back. So the Gemara on Daf Hey has the following shaila. What happens if Reuven is going to come to Shimon claiming that Shimon owes him the money, but he's coming before this Zman Piron, so you're supposed to pay him in a month from now, and he's coming early, and he doesn't have a shtar. So who's going to win this Din Torah? Is Shimon going to be more believed, or is Reuven going to be more believed? So it's Machlokes between Reish Lakish and Abaye and Rav. According to Reish Lakish, we're going to say that Reuven will win this Din Torah. Why? Because Chazaka in Adam Pare Tochsmano. A person normally doesn't pay his loan back before he actually has to. Right? No one pays their taxes before they have to actually pay their taxes. You're going to go ahead and you're going to pay the debt when the deed is due. And therefore, if you're a Kovei Zman, if there's a due date to pay, and Reuven now is going to try to get the money from Shimon earlier than the actual set, so we allow Reuven to go ahead and collect from Shimon, and we're not going to believe Shimon's taina that he paid back, because Chazaka in Adam Poreya Tochsmano. However, Abaye and Rava say that no. Sometimes people do actually pay back the debts early, because, let's say, they don't want to be pestered by the guy that owes them money. So a person ended up making enough money to be able to pay back the loan. So they're not going to wait for the deadline. They're going to say, no, let me take the advantage and let me go and pay back the loan at the time that I can now pay back. So that's the machlokes between Reish Lakish and Abaye and Rava. According to Reish Lakish, we're going to say, in Adam Pare Tochsmano, and therefore Reuven will be able to win this Din Torah and be able to just take the money from Shimon. We're not going to believe Shimon's taina. But according to Abaye and Rava, no, Shimon would actually, people do actually pay back money before debts in a situation where they have money, because they don't want to be pestered by the malve. And therefore, Hamotzi Mechaveiro Avaraya will still be on Reuven to go ahead and prove it, because he has no shtar with him. So we spent two sugyas, one focusing on Reish Lakish and the other one focusing on Shitas Abaye and Rava. So we're going to begin with the order that we did in Shir, which is trying to understand now the Shita of Reish Lakish, because seemingly Reish Lakish is telling us that this Malve is going to be able to be Motzi Mamon from Shimon with a Rov. Because the Reuven, the Malve, is going to be able to invoke Chazaka in Adam Pore Tochsmano, which is a Rov, that Rov people don't pay their debts back early. And because of that, we're going to allow him to go and take the money from Shimon, because we're not going to believe Shimon's taina there to pay it back. But we know from two Gemaras, the Gemara in Bava Basra Tzarech Beis and the Gemara in Bava Kama Chaf Zayin, that we paskin like Shmuel, ain't holchim b'mon acharov. So how could we possibly allow Reuven to go ahead and take money from Shimon if the chazaka that he's using is chazaka in Adam Pore Tochsmano, which is just a simple rov, and ain't holchim b'mon acharov? So what are these two gemaras that we learn from Shmuel, ain't holchim b'mon acharov? So the first gemara is the gemara in Bava Basra, Tzarech Beis, where if someone sells an ox, and that ox decides to go ahead and gore. So the guy that just bought the ox is very upset. Rav is going to claim that he could say to the seller, Mekach Tos, I thought I was buying a nice short tom, a nice cute animal that I'll be able to have in my backyard. This animal that you sold me is a monster. And therefore, according to Rav, he's going to be able to claim Mekach Tos and demand a new animal, because he wanted an animal to be able to work his land, not an animal that's going to be going ahead and goring. So he had the full intentions when he went to buy this animal off the guy to be able to have an animal that will be able to work for him, not an animal that's going to gore. And therefore, Rav says, because of the Mekach Tos, he could demand a new animal to be sold to him. But Shmuel says, no, the sale is a good sale, and you can't rely on the rov, that rov people buy animals to work, because ain holchem b'mon achar rov, and therefore, Shmuel says, it's a good sale, just go ahead and take this shor that was sold to you, that ended up goring and ended up becoming a shor muad, and go and have a barbecue, and go grill it, and go cook it up, and shecht it, and eat it. nothing wrong with the sale at all. So we see from there that Shmuel holds Ein Hocha Mamun Acharov. The other Gemara that we see that is the Gemara in Baba Kama Chav Zayin, where if someone asks for a chavis, he asks for a barrel, and instead he gets a kad, he gets a jug. So Rav says, oh, the guy can claim Mekachtos, because real people call a chavis. When someone orders a barrel on Amazon, they're expecting a barrel. They don't just interchange the word barrel and jug. So according to Rav, he's able to demand for a barrel to be resent to his house. According to Shmuel, no, ain't holchem b'mon acher rov. And therefore, even though most people call a chavis, because sometimes there is a miut that people could interchangeably use the word chavis and kad, so therefore, ain't holchem b'mon acher rov, we're not going to allow, we're going to say that the sale is a good sale, and therefore, he will lose out on getting the chavis that he actually wanted, and he's going to be stuck with this kad, according to Shmuel. So we see these two gemaras of ain't holchem b'mon acher rov. And that's why now we have this question, how in the world could Reish Lakish be telling us that this Ma'aveh Reuven will be able to be motzi the mamon from Shimon using the chazak of Ein Adam Paredel Tzmano, if that's a rov, and Ein Holchem B'Mamon Acher HaRov. So we saw two Tosfosim. We saw Tosfos in Sanhedrin Daf Gimel and Tosfos in Bava Kama Chav Zayin, which are going to help us answer this question. So the first Tosfos we're going to address is the Tosfos in Sanhedrin Daf Gimel, which asks the following question on Shitas Shmuel in general, which holds Ein Holchem B'Mamon Acher HaRov, which is, how in the world could we say that Ein Holchem B'Mamon Acher Rov if we see Yomim V'Laila that we follow Rov Dayanim? And last time I checked, whenever there's a case in Dinim Mamonos and it goes to Dayanim, we paskin whatever the Rov Dayanim say. So we see built into the institution of Dayanim, we see that we do follow Rov by Mamonos, because if you have a Din Torah that shows up to Beis Din and you have two Dayanim saying one way, another Dayan that says the other way, we're going to follow Rov Dayanim, even in a case of Dinim Mamonos. So how do we paskin like Shmuel? How could we say Ein Holchem B'Mamon Acher Rov? So Tosfos in Sanhedrin gives a very quick line to answer this, and he says, because not all Rovs are equal. That's the way Rabbi Yehovah is presenting it, which really is that a Shvach Rov, we're not going to allow you to be Motzi Mamon. A Shvach Rov, we're going to say Ein Holchem B'Mamon Acher Rov. But a good rov, we will be able to say that you could be motzi the mamon. So obviously, this needs explanation. What constitutes something to be a shvach rov, where we're going to say ein holchem b'mamon acher rov, and what constitutes a good rov that we're going to be able to say that we could be motzi mamon acher that rov? So Rebbe brought in the Sheiv Shmaisa to go ahead and explain this Tosfos, and Rebbe actually presented it two different ways in shir. One day he presented the Sheiv Shmaisa in one mahalach, and the next day, I don't know if you guys remember, but Rebbe came in, it was chozer in the way he explained the Sheish Maisa, and explained it a different way. So I'm going to give you the both ways that Rebbe explained this Sheish Maisa, which again, it's very, very, very dachistic to be able to understand what constitutes now the Shvach Rov, where that's where we're going to say Ein Holchem B'Mamon Acher Rov, like Shmuel, and when we're going to say it's a good Rov, and therefore we could technically follow a Rov, which would be like Dayanim. So the Sheish Maisa, the first way Rebbe presented it, is that it depends if it's a societal Rov or not. A Shvach Rov is going to be a societal Rov. Is it something that is subject to change? So those first two roves that we saw in Baba Basra and Tzadik Beis and Baba Kama Chav Zayin of Shmuel, those are both societal roves. It happens to be that time, in that day and age, so rove people used to buy an ox to work. And rove people used to call a chavis a chavis. But that doesn't mean that in 2021 that's true. Last time I checked, in 2021, if a person's going to try to buy an animal, they're not necessarily buying an animal to work. They might be buying an animal to go and have a barbecue, to go and get some food, you know, to work their land unless they're a farmer. So those are roves that are subject to change. So when you have a rove that's subject to change, so it's a societal rove, it's not necessarily stuck in that we're going to always be able to rely on this rove. So that's when we're going to say Ein Holchem B'Mamon Acher Rov like Shmuel. But if it's a rove that's it's not going to be subject to change, like rove dayanim, the second these dayanim give up psak, you have two dayanim telling us one way and another dayan telling us the other way, so that's never going to change. Whatever the psak is, the psak is. And therefore, that's going to be a good rove, and we can always follow that rove. And that's why, perhaps, we could say over here that this chazaka of in adam poreya tochsmano is really more towards the rove of dayanim, because it is the tevet. It's very hard to break the nature of a human being to want to go and pay back a loan before. It's a psychological truth. Rebbe wanted to, those that zehaloshon. It's a psychological truth that a person doesn't want to pay back his loan before the debt. No one wants to pay back money. Everyone likes money. No one wants to pay back their money early, and therefore that's also something that's never going to be subject to change. Just how once the dayan give up psak, so too it's the human psychological nature that's never going to change in the history of humans. Everyone loves their money, and no one's going to want to pay their debt back early, and that's why we could follow the rove here with Reish Lakish. But the roves by Shmuel, where we say Ein Holchem B'Mamon Acher Rov, that's because those are societal roves that are subject to change. Rebbe then the next day represented the Sheish Maisa and said, now really, it's about whether it's a rove b'teva or not a rove b'teva. A shvach rov is when it's a rov that's not beteva. What does that mean? It's where you could elect to become the miut if you wanted to. So the case above mitzvah tzarek beis and above kama chav zayin, those were not rovs beteva. If a person really wanted to, so he could elect to be the miut that decides to buy the ox, not to work. Or he could elect to be the miut that decides to interchangeably use the word chavis and kad. So when it's so easy to just get rid of the rov, for you to elect yourself to try to become the miut and not follow the rov, so we can't follow that rov. That's when we say Shmuel, ein holchim b'manacha rov. But when it's something that is a rov b'teva, right? Rov v'behemos ein a treifa shein. You can't just elect for this animal to go ahead and become a treifa. The animal has to become a treifa. That's a rov b'teva. Or like by Dayanim, a rov b'teva, where that's something that you can't just elect to change. It's once the psak is in, the psak is in. You can't just decide to go ahead and to change it if you wanted to. You can't become that miut. And that's when we say that's going to be a strong enough rov. We're going to say ein holchem mamon acher. That's when we're going to say that you could follow the rov because it's such a strong rov. It's a rov b'teva, which is when Jeremy Borgen, he asked Rebbe and Shear, but that's almost too good of an answer, because then it's going to be hard to read it back into our Gemara and Daf Hey with Reish Lakish, because according to Reish Lakish, is this really true that this is a rov b'teva, that it's such a strong rov that you're going to be able to follow? You're going to be able to follow it. It's going to be more comparable to rov behemos and treif hussein. So that's what Rebbe said. Yeah, we're really dangling a tightrope, and you have to say that it really is a rov b'teva, that it's very hard for a person to decide to become the miut and to want to pay back a loan early. That it is almost going back to what he said before, it's such a psychological truth that a person would never want to go and pay back the loan early. And that's also what's going on over here. So we see two mahalchim in this Tosfos Sanhedrin Daf Gimel, and how we could read Reish Lakish to be able to follow the rov in this situation, because these are strong, good rovs, and therefore we're able to follow the rov. It's only when it's a shvach rov that we say in holchem amarach rov according to Shmuel. And again, the two ways of understanding the Sheish Maisa is what constitutes a shvach rov and what constitutes a good rov. Then we moved on right there to the Tosfos and Baba Kama and of Chaf Zayin, where the Tosfos really there is addressing the real question of why we say in the first place, ein hochin b'mamon acharov. And that is because every time we have a suffix, we have a mamon amuta of a suffix, we follow a muchzak over the rov. We're not going to run to follow the rov in the din Torah. We're going to follow who's the muchzak, who has the money where's the chazak at, who has the money at the moment. So before we go in further with the Sheish Maisa and Rav Elchanan to explain this Tosfos, we first wanted to understand, why is that true? Why is it true that we're always going to follow the muchzak over the rov when we have a suffik in mamonos, if we know there's a din of rubi v'chazaka, ruba adif? So you would think that we should follow the rov and we shouldn't follow the muchzak, because of rubi v'chazaka, ruba adif. So we saw Sheish Maisa and a Pnei Yeshua to answer this. I'm just going to focus quickly now on the Sheish Maisa, which is that no, the reason why we say rubi v'chazaka, ruba adif is because when you have a rov going against a chazaka mi'ikara, so you have the rov, which is present news, going against a chazaka mi'ikara, which is old news in front of us. So of course we're going to want to follow the rov against a chazaka mi'ikara, because the rov is this new news that we have telling us. Chazaka mi'ikara is something that we had in the past. And therefore, when we have a suffik in mamon, and we're debating, should we follow a rov or should we follow the muchzak? So those are two things that are present news. We have a rov telling us one way presently to follow, and we have a muchzak telling us that we should follow the guy who's holding on to the money at that moment. So because both those things are present news, it's not like a rov versus a chazak and bikara, where one's older news and one's new news, so it's obvious to follow the new news. These are both two present news coming at each other, so they're going to be stalemate, the rov and the muchzak, and therefore, shevi'atase, we're going to leave the money by the muchzak. So we know, now, whenever we have a suffix in mamnos, we're going to follow the muchzak over the rov. And we only follow muchzak when we're besuffix. So this is now the mixture of the Sheish Maisa and Rav Elchanan, as I'm just going to say it through. And we only follow a muchzak when we're besuffix. So the moment we find ourselves in a suffix, that's where we're going to fall over to a muchzak instead of a rov. But if we're not besuffix in the first place, then there's no need for us to follow the muchzak. We're going to be able to follow whatever the vadai is, whatever the rov is going to be. So how do we know if we're going to be besafik? So it depends if the miut is going to be command isa or if the miut is going to be command lesa. If the miut in a rov is so small, then there's no suffik anymore, right? If you have a rov to believe something and the miut is so small in that rov to not be true, so then there's not even a suffik anymore. You know that it's going to be true. But if you have a miut that is Kaman Isa, you actually have a Mia that's likely to take place, so then you have a suffix because you have not you have a rov chance telling you one way, but you have a miut, which is a command isa, which is likely to happen, telling you the other way. And therefore that's what the Tosmu Kama using Rav Chanan and Shish Maisa is coming to explain when we're gonna say in Hochamam Racharov and when we're not gonna say in Hochamam Racharov, which is it's all totally about whether or not the miut is command isa or command alessa. When the miut is gonna be command alessa, when the miut is not even there, so then we're gonna be able to follow the rov. Why? Because there's no suffix anymore. And when there's no suffix anymore, there's no muchzuk to fall back to. We could fall back to this rov because it's not even a rov, it's a rov vadai. It's more than a rov because there's no miut. When the miut is actually present in front of us, so then that's when we're going to have to go and follow the muchzuk. So what are the? How do we differentiate between these two cases? So the case of the chabis and the kad and the ox being bought for work, right? The two gemaras of Shmuel of Ein Hoch Mamra Acharov and Baba Basra Tarek Beis and Baba Kama Chav Zayin. So those are two cases where the miut is command isa, right? It is really likely that a person doesn't buy an ox to go ahead and work. And it is likely that a person interchangeably uses the word chavis and kad. And therefore, in hoch mamna acharov, because the miut is command alessa, which puts us to besafik, so we have to follow the muchzuk instead of, following the rov, as we explained before why that is. But when we come to dayanim, when we say that we're allowed to follow rov dayanim to be able to be motzi mamon achar rov, so the reason why that is true is because the miut by dayanim is command alessa. Right? We saw the rush in the chulin days, which is iser nepach leheter, that even applies dinim mamos b'shlosha, that when the dayanim give a psak and two are saying one way and the other dayan say the other way, that one dayan that was disagreed ends up being nepach to joining the other two dayanim, and it's really as if all three dayanim gave the psak. So by dayanim, the miut is really command alessa, and therefore because the miut is command alessa, you're not left with a suffix. And you're left with just that rov, which is really a rov bevados. It's a rov bevados telling us one way. And that's why we could believe it. And so too, that's what we're saying over here in Bo Basher Daf Hei, that with Reish Lakish, that the chazaka in Adam Parei Toch Semano, the miut is command alessa. Because how many people do you know are going to really pay before their deadline is due? And they really, that's a real bivados. And we saw this also by the Binus Adam. The Binus Adam fleshes this out with the Gemara and Psachim. By the Chavar Shemes, we know the Gemara Paskins there, Ein Safik Motzi Mivei Vadai. So the Gemara has a question. I don't understand it. We say Ein Safik Motzi Mivei Vadai. So how in the world are we allowed to assume that a Chavar Shemes that left over some produce, left over some fruits, could we assume that that fruit was already meisered and is going to be chulin to be able to eat? If we know that Vadai before, it was Tevel, right? When a person grows produce, it becomes Tevel. That's Vadai. And now we're besuffic whether or not this Chaver was meisered this fruit or not. And we paskin, ain't suffic motzim vadai. So we're besuffic if this Chaver ended up taking meiser or not. So how can we allow this to be motzi the Vadai of the Tevel? To which we say no, because Chazakah, that a chaver doesn't leave any produce untithed from his farm, from his house. And therefore, it's not a rov, but it's a mamash, a chazak of a dos that's telling us that this chaver definitely was meiser his produce. And therefore, we could treat it as if it's going to be chulin. And so too, we also saw almost similarly the Gemara Pesachim Daf Dalid, that if someone is going to go move into a house and rent it right on Erev Pesach, that he's not going to go and need to check the house for chametz, because we could assume that it was already Becheskes Baduk. Rov Jews are going to go ahead and check. So yes, so we're saying, how could we follow that rov? Isn't that a rov of Talib Maisa? I and the Sig is over there. So we say, no, because this is a rov Bivados. It's not just a regular Stam rov. This is a rov that for sure happened. So again, no matter how you slice it, whichever way you like better, there will be reason to be able to say that according to Reish Lakish, the reason why Reuben this Malva is going to be able to be motzi the mamon from Shimon because of Chazaka in Adam Parei Toch Semano, even though we normally say that Ein Hoch Mamon Achar Rov, is for either of those reasons of the Tosfos in Sanhedrin Daf Gimel and the Biurim we gave over there and the Tosfos Baba Kama Chav Zayin and the Biurim we gave just now. So then the Gemara, then we wanted to go further in the Sugya. And we asked, so what about by a stam hava? We know a stam hava, if a person just lends money to someone and doesn't give up, and it's not kovei his man for the due date for the guy to pay him back, but he's a nice guy, he lends him $500, he doesn't tell him when to pay him back. So the Gemara tells us stam hava is shloshim yom. We assume that the guy has 30 days to go and pay back the $500. So Tosfos just has a statement right where on our daf, and Tosfos says that we don't apply Reish Lakish's chazaka of Ein Adam Parei Toch Semano to Istam Hava Shloshim Yom. and that we would assume that people would actually pay back early. So if someone's going to come by Estam of Rosh Hashanah and demand for the money, we're not going to be able to rely on, even though we pass in like Rish Lakish in the Gemara that we just mentioned, we're not going to rely and say, Chazaka in Adam va pray toks mano, when it's Estam of Rosh Hashanah. When it's Estam of Rosh Hashanah, we say that a person would naturally pay back. So that begs the obvious question. Why in the world would we say by Estam Avah Shosh Miyom that a person would pay back before 30 days? Seemingly the whole Svara of Reish Lakish, which we just explained is a really strong Svara. It's a Chazak of Ados, it's a Rov, it's a Bevadai, right? It's something that's never going to change. It's something that's so strong. So why in the world would that change that if it's a Estam Avah Shosh Miyom, a person all of a sudden naturally would want to pay before 30 days? We just said that when there's a Kavu Azman, a person doesn't pay early. So we know that there's a the Estam Avah Shosh Miyom. Why is Tosos telling us that by Estam Avah Shosh Miyom, we're not going to invoke Reish Lakish's Chazakah, and we're going to assume that the guy did pay back? So we saw three Birurim. We saw the Sma, we saw the Ktos, and we saw the Dvar of Ram. So to walk through the three Birurim. So according to the Sma, he says Kovei Azman and Estam Avah Shosh Miyom are very different. Why? Because when a person takes out a loan and is kovei zman and says, you know, I'm going to go and take out this loan, I'm going to borrow $500 from you, and I'm going to pay you in 6 months from now. Right, the guy must be very poor. And I'm going to pay you back in 6 months from now. The reason why he's asking to pay back in 6 months is because, you know, he physically is not going to have the money to pay him back until 6 months. He did his calculations. He realized how many hours he has to work to be able to make the money back. So he says to his friend, like, please, I want to borrow money from you, and I'll pay you back in 6 months. That's when I did my calculation, and I realized I'll be able to have the money to pay you back. So in such a situation, we're going to say, in on them pareya tos mano. It's not likely that a person will decide to pay back that money early, because the whole reason why he was kovei zman was because he knew that he wasn't going to have enough money to pay back until that time. However, when it's a stam havah shloshim yom, so the reason why this guy is taking out this loan is not because he doesn't have money to pay back. He very well might have money to pay back. It's just that in the situation that he's in, he needed money quickly. So he turned to his friend and said, can I have some money? The mashal that I had a couple months ago, Rav Chizkiya Nevinsal came in from Eretz Yisrael. So he asked me what I was learning, that we were learning the Sigya. So he asked me the question, if I thought Reish Lakish's Chazakah applies to Estam Avah Shosh Miyom. So this is, I gave him over the Sma, and he said to me, this shaila comes up to play when we're trying to go on a bus stop, right? You turn to your friend, you say, listen, I need $2. Can I have $2 for the bus? I don't have any money. So could we assume that the guy's going to pay back within the 30 days or not? So if you think about it, this smile really fits in well to this question. Because when a person is borrowing $2 for a bus stop to get on the bus, he's not borrowing because he doesn't have money to pay back. He's borrowing because he's got all the money he wants in his house. He just needs the money currently to get on the bus. He just forgot to bring $2 with him. So in such a situation, we're going to say it's likely for a guy to actually pay back the debt before 30 days. It's just that Chazal tacked on this Azman to go and pay for 30 days. But when someone's Kovei Azman, so that shows that he only has intention to pay in that amount of time, because that's why he needed that much time to delay until he would be able to make the money back. But by Estam Avah Shosh Miyom, we're going to say that he'd pay back early, because as we said before, the reason why he's taking out the money is because of the situation he's in. It's not because of the lack of money that he has, but it's because of this unique situation that he needs the money, right? You think about it, he needs to go on this bus stop, and that's why he's asking for the mamun. The Ktos didn't like really the Sma. He challenged him with the Baal Basra, because the Sma seemingly wouldn't work with the case of the Kosel. If a person would want to, if a person claims that he already paid back the money before the Kosel was finished, the Raya over there, if you get it, great. If not, that's why the Ktos disagree with the Sma. And the Ktos instead gave a different bureau that's really about the Minig Shiva Olam. That it's the Minig Shiva Olam that when a person's Kovei Zman, so he's not going to pay back early. A person has a set date, he's going to pay at that set date, he's not going to want to pay back early. But when it's a Stam Avah Shosh Miyom, a person would naturally pay back earlier. That's the Minig Shiva Olam. And the mashal that Rebbe gave is when a person tries to take a dollar to get a Coke from the Coke machine. A person feels rushed to pay back the guy that lends it to him. He's not going to want to go and give it 30 days later because he knows it's Estam Avah Shosh Miyom. A person that takes a dollar, the guy was a nice guy that lends it to him. It's a natural, it's the Minig Shiva Olam. That person is going to pay back as soon as he can that dollar bill from the Coke. But when a person's Kovei Zman, so that's Minig Olam. Okay, we set up a time. You're not going to pester me until I pay you back until that deadline. And I'm not going to pay you back until that deadline. And Shan Shama Yeshua, that's the Minig Shiva Olam. That's the way the Ktos explains the difference as to why Tosos again would say that Reish Lakish would not apply to Estam Avah Shosh Miyom. And then lastly, we saw this Devar of Ram, which is that Kavu Zman and Estam Avah Shosh Miyom work in Lomdus totally differently. Because by Kovei Zman, the Chiv to pay only kicks in at the moment the Zman Piron shows up. So when you say, I want to pay you in 6 months, so the entire 6 months until that date of 6 months later, there is no chiyuv for you to pay the loan. But when it comes to Stam Aval, Shloshim Yom, so we say that really the chiyuv to pay that money back starts from that first day you borrow that Stam Aval. And it's just that there's an Iser Piron for the Malvet to go and collect earlier than day 30. It has nothing to do with Koveya Zman. And therefore, the Dvar Vram says that in Lumdus, right, when a person realizes that the Chiyuv, psychologically, when a person realizes, I don't have a Chiyuv yet, so then he's not going to pay the loan back. When a person knows that he has a Chiyuv, so then he's going to want to pay the loan. And that's why by Koveya Zman, because we say that the Chiyuv only starts by the actual Zman that was Koveya in 6 months from now, so a person's not going to pay back early because he knows in Lumdus there's no Chiyuv for him to pay. But when it comes to Stam Aval Shloshim Yom, even though it's just an Iser Piron that the guy can't collect, the Malva can't collect before 30 days. So psychologically, because the guy knows that the Chiyuv to pay already started from the day one that he borrowed it, he's going to want to pay back as soon as he can. Which again, Rebbe had a kasha on this Dvar Avram, because why is that true? Why would a Stam guy who's not a Talmud Chacham, who's not a guy who's learning, about Basra B'Eden and is trying to be Omed on this kasha, why is he going to care whether or not he has the Chiyuv starts by day one or if the Chiyuv is going to start the last day? He just has to pay when he has to pay. So why? Because he knows in Lumdus the Chiyuv already started. Is that going to want to make him pay earlier? That was a kasha that Rebbe had. And then we saw different rayas back and forth for the Dvar Avram or not. So we saw the first raya was the Bach. The Bach, quoting from the Gemara in Makos and Daf Gimel by Shemitah, where we know that if a person is Koveya Zman, let's say to have a deal go through and to pay back the loan in 5 years from now, so would Shemitah cancel the loan or not? So the Gemara in Makos and Daf Gimel says that Shemitah will not be able to cancel that loan. Why? Because by the time Shemitah came within those 5 years, so there was no chov, because as we said, when a person's Koveya Zman, the Kavua Zman, the Chiyuv to pay only happens at the 5th year, at the final time, at the Zman that he was Koveya. So when Shemitah comes beforehand, there was no chov in existence, and therefore the Shemitah is not going to cancel the loan, even though Shemitah normally would cancel loans. So there, and then the Bach then quotes from the Mishnah Shvius in Perek Yud, which says that what happens if a person does a Stam Hava 20 days before the Shemitah cycle is about to come to take place. So this is really, we could figure out, this is the Shaila of the Dvar Avram. A person does a Stam Hava Shloshim Yom 20 days before Shemitah. So will we say that when Shemitah comes in the 20th day, will that cancel the loan or not? So the Mishnah Shvius says that the loan will cancel it. So what do we see from here? We see from here, like the Dvar Avram, that the Chiyuv by Stam Aval Shloshim Yom actually kicks in at day one. And because it kicked in at day one, and it's just the Issur Piron by day 30, so the Chov was in existence. So by day 21, Shemitah came, so it was able to cancel it. Unlike by Kavu Zman, where it would have only been able to cancel it when the loan was actually intact, which would have been at day 30. So we see from this Raya, the Bach says, that it must be that by Stam Aval, the Chiyuv actually starts on day one, and the Chidush Eran brought a Raya against that from Stam She'ela and Stam Mechira. We then saw another rayas from the Rambam and the Brisker Rav. The Rambam discusses that if a person takes out, right, Stam Aval Shloshim Yom, and the Malveh, we say that, and the Malveh, after he goes ahead and he gives the Stam Aval, the Malveh says to the Loveh, you know, I want to be able to collect this money even before 30 days. So the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, that a Tanai Shemamon is Kayim, and therefore even though the debt to pay back is Stam Aval ish Shloshim Yom is 30 days, if the Malveh, when he gave the Stam Aval, said, I want to be able to collect it even before the 30 days, we're going to allow him to collect it before the 30 days. Why? Because we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, the Rambam brings down that Tanai Shemamon is Kayim. So Brisker Rav asks, I don't understand. Machlokas over there by Tanai Shemamon Kayim or not, between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir just disagreed, because Rabbi Meir held that you just can't have a Tanai against a Din Torah. But if something's not, if you have a Tanai that's not going against a Din Torah, so you can make a Tanai all you want. We could always rely on a Tanayim. We just can't rely on a Tanai when it's going against a Din Torah. And therefore, says the Brisker Rav, what do we see from here? It must be clearly that a Stam Aval Shloshim Yom is a Din Torah. And therefore, the Rambam had to invoke Tanai Shemam Makayim, because from the fact that Stam Aval is a Din Torah, the Mava wouldn't be able to make a Tanai going against the Torah to say that I could collect the loan even before 30 days. Because if the Torah tells us that the Stam Aval is Shloshim Yom, it's a Din Torah that you can't collect before then, so then the Mava has no right to be able to go ahead and collect beforehand. So we see from here that clearly it must be a din Torah. And the only reason why the mav is allowed to go ahead and collect earlier is because of Rabbi Huda of Tanai Shemamon Kayim. And therefore, we see from the fact that it is a din Torah that it is not this tekana of kavuah zman. It's not this svara reasoning that a person is gonna of why a person is gonna pay back. But really, it's a din Torah that the chiyuv is gonna start right away. That the Torah gives a schus to the mave to be able to the lowet to be able to collect within those 30 days. The other rye that we saw by the Brisker Rav was by an Arev, that we also allow an Arev to have 30 days to go and pay back a loan if the Lovev defaulted on the loan. So the question there is also, why would that be? If it's all about Kavuah Zman, Stamavah Shloshim Yom, so then once the 30 days are up, so the Lovev should only have those original 30 days. Why should we give him another 30 days? Why should we get 60 days to have to pay the Malveh? The Malveh Stamavah Shloshim Yom, it should be Shloshim Yom. So we see also now from here, it must be a Din Torah that it's a Schus, being able to give that you have 30 days to pay back. And therefore, even the Arev is able to have it. So because we see that it's just a Din Torah, so we see that the Chov is able to be Chal right away at the moment, and it's not about Kavuzman, it's not about happening when the loan actually takes place, which is why the Devar Avram fits well into the Devar Avram that the Lumdus works differently by Estamavah and Kavuzman. So we saw a Raya for the Bach, why Estamavah, the Chov starts right away for the Gemara and Makos, and we saw two Rayas within the Rambam, the Brisker Rav, that also Estamavah, the Chov is going to start right away, because it must be that it's a Din Torah, and it's not some, it has nothing to do with being Kavuzman. So then moving on from Rish Lakish, we want to understand the other opinion, because remember we said it was Machokas between Rish Lakish and Abaye and Rava. Rish Lakish was the one that said, in Chazaka, in Adam Pore Tochmano, and therefore the Malva would be able to collect the loan. But Abaye and Rava said, no, that's not true. That really, we're not going to say Chazaka in Adam Pore Tochmano, because people would actually pay back before the Kavuzman, before the deadline is actually coming into play. So, as a disclaimer, as Rebbe started when we started to understand the Bayan Rava, we don't pass like a Bayan Rava. We've definitely passed like Reish Lakish, that Chazaka in Adam Pore Tochmano, but it's Torah, and we want to learn the Shitas. We want to understand where a Bayan Rava are coming from, that they say that a person would pay before this man. So Tosfos asks, how in the world would Abaye and Rav understand the Mishnah in Bechoros and Chavtes? The Mishnah in Bechoros and Chavtes says that if, let's say, we're Besafik, if a kid had a Peter and a Ben, because the father of the kid passed away within 30 days of the kid being born. So the Mishnah in Bechoros and Chavtes over there says that we treat the kid b'cheskes shelo nifta, and whenever we have a chazaka that a kid was not poda, and we're besuffic if he had it, so we make him do a pidyon himself. So we said, okay. And that's why the din is that if we're besuffic, whether or not the father gave a pidyon aben to this kid, so he's b'cheskes shelo nifta, and we make the kid do a pidyon aben by himself. So that makes sense according to Rish Lakish. Because according to Rish Lakish, in Adam Pore Tochmano, a person doesn't pay before he has to. So this father, he died within 30 days of the kid being born. There's a chazaka that he probably didn't pay and was poda his son. But according to Abaye and Rava, who hold that people do actually pay back their loans and pay back things before the actual zman, so Abaye and Rava should say that this father should have been poda his child beforehand. So why do we say that he's b'cheskes shelo nifte? So Tosfos then brings in the Gemara in Bamitzia. So the first answer to that is because Abaye and Rava only said their shita that a person doesn't want to go ahead. The first answer that Tosfos gives, I'm sorry, that a person doesn't want that a person will pay back before the loan comes is because a person doesn't want to be pestered. He doesn't want the guy, the malveh, the person that he owes money to keep screaming down his back and saying, "Give me the money, give me the money." So the person, the second a person has the ability to pay back, so then that's when Abaye and Rava said their svara that a person will want to pay and return the money early. And therefore, when it comes to a pidyon ben, because there's no specific kohen that they owe the money to, so there's no specific kohen that's going to be pestering them to pay up the money. And therefore, even Abaye and Rava in this situation would hold that the guy would not pay back, because they only say that a guy would pay back early when they're going to be pestered. But by opinion of Ben, no one's going to be pestered. And that's how Tosfos wanted to originally just solve the answer very simply. But Tosfos realized that it's not so posh, because the Gemara in Bava Metzia, in Daf Kuf Beis, says the case of what happens if you have a maskir who claims before the Zman Piron to get paid that the socher didn't pay him back yet. So he goes to the guy that he rented the house to, and he says, listen, I want my money. I know it's before the time I told you to pay me. I want the money. So and the socher is claiming that he already paid. So we say that we're not going to believe the socher that he already paid. Just how, by Peter and Aben, we don't believe that the father already was pulled to the son within the 30 days, and we treat the kid b'chesek shelo nifteh. So obviously, that's a big kasha. How in the world can we compare this case of the masker and socher to the case of Peter and Aben? But the masker and socher, Abai and Rava should have looked at that case, and they should have said, no, it's logical to say that the socher probably paid back because he didn't want to be pestered. So how in the world could the Gemara be comparing it to Peter and Aben, where Peter and Aben, no one's pestering, as we just said before. There's no Cohen that's screaming down your back to say, be pulled to your be pulled to your child, be pulled to your child. So Tosfos has to now re-understand that opinion that he said there is no one pestering you by Peter and Aben, to be explaining that, yeah, even though physically no one is pestering you to be pulled to your child, there's still another thing that's on your head that's pestering you, that's nagging at you for you to want to be pulled to your son, which is that there's a mitzvah, right? There's usually making a mitzvah. A person wants to go and run and quickly be able to perform mitzvahs. They don't like to have mitzvahs hanging on their head. So a father knows, okay, once the kid was born, I know I got to be pulled to my son. And therefore, he's going to want to go ahead and to pay back the debt early. And that's why we were able to go ahead and compare the case in Baba Mitziyakov Bez to Peter and Aben, that they're both being pestered. And that's why we would say that the person would not want to go and pay back early, which then bodes the kasha for us, which is that's only great for Reish Lakish. Now that we have them comparable, so that makes sense. According to Reish Lakish, they're both being pestered. According to Abaye, if they're both being pestered, so then that is when the dafka should say their svara, that a person would want to pay back early, because he doesn't want the masker to yell at him to pay the rent, and he doesn't want to have a mitzvah hanging on his head by Peter and Aben. So we have to go down a different answer. So we saw the Re, and the Re either gave one answer or two answers, and again, we had a whole lumdus and had to understand what the Re was saying to us. So the Re says as follows. First answer the Re gave was that by Peter and Aben, you're only going to be chayav to be pulled to your son at day 30. N/or. The second answer, that a child may die before the 30th day, and therefore we're going to want to go ahead and we're going to want to wait. So we said, how can we understand these Gemaras about whether or not we're going to say that it's two answers these two answers of the Re, whether it's going to be one answer or two answers. So we said it could be totally on the Devar of Ram, right? We said before that the Devar of Ram is the one that explained that it depends if a person in Lumdus knows that he has a chiyuv to pay back or not. So it could be that if you want to learn like the Dvar of Ram, that in Lumdus, if a person knows he has a chiyuv, so then he's going to want to pay back early. But if he knows that he doesn't have a chiyuv, so he's not going to pay back early, so then you can learn them as two different answers. That the first answer the Re was given was because of Pidin Aben, you're only chayv at day 30. So therefore, because there's no chiyuv until day 30, so even a Abaye and Rava would say that there's no reason for you to pay back your loan, because Kol Zman, you know that there's no reason to pay back your loan, because be pulled to your child, because you know it's only going to happen at day 30. You're not going to want to go ahead and be pulled to your child. But if you wanted to learn like Rebbe, then no, why does a person care in Lumdus whether or not he has a schiv to be pulled to his son or not? So then you have to learn as two different answers, because the first answer wouldn't be able to stand on its own. It wouldn't be enough of a reason for Abaye and Rava to say that they wouldn't, that even in this case, they wouldn't want to pay. So you have to learn it as two different answers, that because the child may die before day 30, so you're going to want to go ahead and wait to see if then you're going to be chayiv at day 30. So again, we would then want to understand, so when does this chiyuv of a Pidyon Aben start? Does it start at day 1, or does the Pidyon Aben start at day 30? So you would assume that the Pidyon Aben, the chiyuv, start, and again, this is going to be taller on this Devar of Ram, and whether you learn this as one answer or two answers, to understand why Abaye and Rava would even say, by Pidyon Aben, that he would want to pay early, even though their shita is that a person would, pay early, why by Pidyon Aben a person would not want to pay early. So again, you would assume that from the pasuk of Upidyon Miben Chodesh, that Upidyon Miben would only be by the 30th day and not beforehand. So, and the Rambam in Bikurim Yud Aleph, Perikud Aleph, Halachachaf, so he said, he brings down the case of, let's say you have twin babies that are born, and the father died within 30 days. And so now we're besuffic who had Upidyon Miben who didn't have. So the only way to be able to give Upidyon Miben to one of these kids is to be able to take a field from the Nechasim Mishubadim, or any Nechasim Mishubadim from the father, to be able to pay back to be pulled to the child. Because if you're going to want to have one of the children be pulled to themselves, they're each going to have a claim to each other that was the Bechor and that was the Bechor. So they're going to be able to get off themselves scot-free. So to be pulled to these children, we're going to have to be goveh from the Nechasim Mishubadim of the father, of these twin fathers, and that's how we're going to have to be pulled at these kids. So the Torah asks the following question from this on this Rambam. He says, I don't understand. How in the world can we say that we could use the Nechasim Mishubadim to be Poda, one of the Bechor child of the Suffolk, who was, if they were Poda or not? If to be able to be Gove from Nechasim Mishubadim of someone, the Chov has to be in existence when the guy was alive. And we know that Pinin Ben, as we saw from the Pasuk seemingly, Upadim Ben Chodesh, Pinin Ben, the Chiyuv only starts at day 30. So if Pinin Ben, the Chiyuv only starts at day 30, so then there was no chov, and the father died within 30 days of these kids being born, so there's no chov, there's no chiyuv for him to have to be poled to his children. So how in the world could we say that we could collect from these nechasim mishubadim? To which we answer with Rav Chanan, a chiddush gadol, that no, you don't necessarily have to have the chov to be in existence when a person is alive, to be able to be gover from nechasim mishubadim. As long as there's a sibas achiyuv when the guy was alive, that's going to be enough to be gover from his nechasim mishubadim when he passes away. And therefore, when the father was born, so the sibas achiyuv, when the children were born, so once the two children were born, so the sibas achiyuv to be poured to the child is there, even though the chov is only until day 30, and therefore we'd be allowed to go ahead and collect from the father's nechasim mishubadim, which again will help explain and support the Devar of Ram, and that there's two answers that the Ri is given, that the reason why in this case, even according to Abaye and Rava, there's a likelihood that the father wasn't pulled to their children, even though the Abaye and Rava normally said that a father would, is because the chiyuv of Pinin Ben only starts at day 30, and when a person knows in Lumdus that he only has a chiyuv to pay at day 30, he's only going to pay at that Shas chiyuv. But if he knows that he has a chiyuv earlier, then he would have paid earlier. So because by Pinin Ben, the chiyuv only starts at day 30, from this raya of the kasha of the Torah and the answer of Rav Chanan, so we can see that he's only going to be chayav at day 30, and therefore he's not going to pay until the 30th day, and that's why even Abaye and Rava would say that in the Mishnah Chavtes, we would say that the kid is going to be Becheskes Shelo Nifta, and he has to be pulled to himself. The Ma'arid HaGazi, though, goes down a completely different path, and he says, why do we have to get so complicated? Why can't we just learn the Rambam, literally, as a Chiddush Gadol? That, yeah, the Chov actually was in existence when the father was alive. Why? Because the Chov, for Pinin Ben, is by day one. And therefore, don't ask me this complicated kasha of how is it possible that that we could have this nechasim, we could be gover from the nechasim mishubadim of the father if the father was dead within 30 days and the chov was in existence. No, says the Marei Degazi, the Rambam learned from here, Chiddush Gadol, we can see from the Rambam that the chiyuv of a Pinin Ben starts by day one. And therefore, he learns Tosfos as to be one answer, because it wouldn't be enough to be able to say that a Pinin Ben starts at day 30 is the chiyuv, because he learned that it really starts on the first day. So where else do we see the Marei Degazi takes this trying to figure out whether or not Pinin Ben starts by day 1 or day 30. We see this also in a couple other Gemaras, in Machlokas Rashi Tosfos, and again later in another Machlokas on Morayim. So where does he see this? So the Gemara in Baba Kama, Dafid Aleph, has a discussion and says that a Bechor Nitrof, if let's say you have a Bechor who is Nitrof, we're going to define what that means, within 30 days, so there's no mitzvah Pinin Ben. So the Machlokas Rashi Tosfos about what that means, that the Bechor that was Nitrof. Rashi says that it means that the Bechor was killed in an accident, because obviously, if it died on its own, there would be no pidgin. So we wouldn't have to have a chiddush of ach to tell me that there is no mitzvah pidgin aben. And that's why, because the whole reason why we have to have according to Rashi, the whole reason why we wait 30 days to be able to be pulled to a child is to see if the kid will be an aphel. So therefore, the Gemara had to teach us a chiddush that if it was a Bechor Shenitrof and it was a Bechor that died because of a car accident, so you might have had a Havamina that because this baby wasn't an aphel, it was a healthy baby, and it just happened to have been that it died prematurely because of some freak accident. So you would have thought maybe there would be a mitzvah pinin aben, because we have a mitzvah pinin aben once we know it's not an aphel. So kamash malam, we have to go and learn Lefi Rashi that even a Bechor Shnitrov, even if a Bechor by a car accident, by an accident that happens, we're not going to be have the mitzvah of a pidyon. But Tosfos said no. Really, Nitrof is about whether or not this animal had a hole in its heart. Had a hole in its heart. And the chiddush is that you'd still have no pidyon even though this baby is alive. You think, okay, the baby is alive, so therefore I should be able to have this pidyon ben. No, chiddush of the Torah is that if it was a Bechor Shnitrof and he has a hole in his heart, we're not going to go and give this baby a pidyon. So the Marido Gazi explains in the Kudus HaMacholkes between Rashi and Tosfos. He says it must be that Rashi learns that the chiyuv of a pidyon ben of 30 days, it's lav dafka. It just shows us when the kid is not going to be an aphel. And therefore, once we hit day 30, we're allowed to go back and say that the Pinyan Ben, the Chiyuv of Pinyan Ben was already, was already starting. And that's why we could have had a Havimina to entertain the possibility that if we knew this baby was a healthy baby and he wasn't going to be a Nafel even before day 30, and he got into an accident, so maybe you should still have to do a Pinyan Ben on him because he wasn't a Nafel. So Kamashmon, no, we still wouldn't have. But you were able to entertain the possibility that maybe we would have been, maybe he would have had this chiyuv of this pinyan ben early. But Tosfos learns that no, a pinyan ben, the Torah says pinyan ben chodesh, the chiyuv only starts at the 30th day, and therefore he couldn't even entertain the possibility. No matter what, if the baby doesn't make it until day 30, whether he died as a nafel or whether he died in an accident, so no matter what, there would be no pinyan ben on this kid. So he never could have even entertained the havamina that maybe if it was a bechor nitrof, that it was an accident, that we should be pulled to this child early. Because of course, according to Tosfos, we wouldn't be able to. Just that you can't give a bris milah to a kid before 8 days. So the chiyuv of pinyan ben starts at day 30. And no matter what, if the kid doesn't make it to day 30, we're not going to go ahead and give this kid a pidyon. And therefore, again, we see that there's this machlokes between Rashi Tosfos is also totally about whether we learn pidyon ben to be chiyuv starting on day 30 or day 1. According to Rashi, you could see that pidyon ben, the chiyuv, could be starting by day 1, as we learned the Rambam, literally, according to Maharid Agazi. And Tosfos is more in the camp of the Torah Rav Chanan, that the Chiyuv is Mamash on day 30. Which again, we said, is going to be taller now on how you understand the Re, about whether or not he was giving two answers between Abaye and Rava, that within the Dvar Ram, with that opinion of Ben, because the Chiyuv only starts at day 30, whether we would say that because the Chiyuv is only going to start on day 30, which would be according to Rav Chanan, the Torah, and Tosfos, as we just saw, that is the reason why. Even according to Bai and Rava, even though they normally hold that a person would pay before this man, that in this case, by Pidyon Ben, they wouldn't have, and therefore it's not a kasha, that mission b'choros on daf chav tes. And then again, lastly, I feel like we spent a long time now in this raya, but we then saw, again, Maharid Agazi, which is very cool, he put this even to Machlokes HaMaariyim, and b'choros mem tes and aleph, between Rav and Shmuel, where if a father, let's say, wants to be pulled to his son, he gives money to his kohen on the sixth day that his son was born. So, and he says to the Kohen, here's the money to be pulled to my child, and I want this to be chal on the 31st day when the pinyan ben, when the chiyuv actually is going to be in existence. So is that a good pinyan or is that not going to be a good pinyan? So according to Rav, it's going to be a good pinyan. According to Shmuel, it's not going to be a good pinyan. So Maharid Agazi says, you don't have to go far. You don't have to go so close, but it's already so far back. The Machlokes HaMaariyim between Rav and Shmuel about whether or not we say that the chiyuv of pinyan ben starts by day 1 or by day 30. That according to Rav, he must be learning that the chiyuv pinyan ben even exists by day 1. And therefore, when a father gives money to a kohen to be chal on day 31, and the kohen, my bad, I forgot to add this nikud in the case, and the kohen decides to spend the money by day 31, so according to Rav, it will still be a good pinyan ben. Why? Because at the end of the day, once the baby hit day 30, we're allowed to go back on Mafreya to where the chiyuv was, and at some point the kohen had the money in his hand. But according to Shmuel, he was learning that the chiyuv is mamish only by day 30, and therefore if the kohen decided to spend the money before day 30, so when it actually comes time to the chiyuv of pinyan ben, if no money was in the kohen's hands, so we can't say that was a good pinyan ben. So we see that Shmuel is lined up with the Torah, is lined up with the Rav Chanan and Tosfos, that the chiyuv is going to be by day 30, and that's why it's not a good pinyan. And Rav is more lined up with Rashi and the Rambam that really a pidyon of ben could even be by day 1, l'mafreya, and that's why it would be a good pidyon. And again, this is all to how we're going to be able to understand whether or not it will be enough of an answer by itself to be able to stick to with the Re, to be able to say that pidyon of ben, the chiyuv only starts at day 30, and that's why according to Bai and Rava, they would, in Lumbus, using the Dvar of Ram, would, in this case, by pidyon of ben, not pay back the debt early, even though they normally would hold that you would. Okay. And then just, I feel like we worked very hard on that raya just now. So let's go with the little fun tangent for those that are here to be able to chazer, this very, very cool, point that Rebbe brought in using this Gemara in Bechoros, which is that what happens if a person, is lined up to have his pinyan ben of his son the 31st days on Shabbos. So we said that according to the Chasam Sofer, it could be an issue because a pinyan ben has a tzur of a mecha chomen kar. And according to the Gra, there's an iser, piran achov on Shabbos. So, if you're learning pidyon ben to be a pior and a chov, that you have to go and pay, so that also should give us some issues to be able to be pulled to your child on Shabbos on 31st day. So what should you do? So the Marshal gives the Eitzah that you should give money to the Kohen on Erev Shabbos for the pidyon ben to be chal on Shabbos, which we saw that Chumash Adeshen really didn't like that Eitzah. He didn't fundamentally dislike the Eitzah, but he didn't like it for two reasons. One, because then you're not going to be able to have a su'udah for the pinyan of ben, because there's no su'udah on a chalosim. And because you don't have a bracha, you don't say a bracha on a chalos. For those two reasons, the true Meshadeshin didn't really like the Marshal's Eitzah. But otherwise, he thought it would be fine, and he technically could. So we saw that Rabbi Kiva Eger learned from here that you see that chalos mekel chamemker would be fine to take place on Shabbos. And therefore, it would be okay, as a million-dollar question, to be able to have your Amazon account running before Shabbos, and a person to just go ahead and decide to buy from your account and sell from your account, or for you to own stock in the stock market, because those are all chalos mekel chamemkers happening. So we can learn from here that because you're allowed to have a chalos pinyan ben to bichal, so then that could also be allowed for you to take place mamish, and or to have a vending machine for people to be able to buy snacks and drinks from your vending machine on Shabbos, because again, those are all chalos mekel chamemkers. And seemingly from here, Rabbi Kiva says, you can see that it's mutter. But Moshe Feinstein was not so fond of this raya, because he says, again, you got to be medai what the Chasam Sofer was saying, which was that it's just a tzura mecha chamemkar. So you can't necessarily learn from pinyan ben that because you could do a chalos mecha chamemkar from a pinyan ben, that you could also have always a chalos mecha chamemkar on Shabbos, because a pinyan ben is really a tzura of mecha chamemkar. It's not actually a mecha chamemkar. So he thinks it would be too much of a jump to be able to say that you could also have all these chalos mecha chamemkars happening on Shabbos. So again, it really is a million-dollar question. Ramosha would be giving Eger about whether or not you're going to allow to have a chalos mecha chamemkar take place for you on Shabbos. So going back to the sugya, again, the Rashba added another reason, that the reason why over here we're going to say that the according to Abai and Rava, they're not going to pay back before the Zman, even though they normally hold that a person would pay back before the Zman, is by the Schiros, by the Maskir case, is because of the din of Schiros in a Mishalemes Ela Besof. And therefore the Chiyov only comes to pay, you only have to pay your rent at the end of the loan period. And therefore, using the Devar Rams, again, psychologically, which Rebbe wasn't a fan of this Devar Ram, but psychologically you can understand that because you only have a Chiyov to pay Schiros by the end of your Schiros point, so that's why even Abai and Rebbe would agree that a person wouldn't want to pay his debt back earlier. But Rebbe had a challenge with this with this Rash. We didn't understand. He left us at Sarchian, because the Gemara over there, when it said Schiros Einam Mishlamas Al Basov, didn't mean that you just can't pay the full lump and the Chiyuv only exists at the end. But really, the Gemara meant when we said Schiros Einam Mishlamas Al Basov is that each day, right? So it's $10, $10, $10. They all add up each day as their own Chiyuv, but you only pay the lump sum at the end. So according to that logic, so the Devar Vram, you can't plug in the Devar Vram, because a person always had this Chiyuv to pay, and therefore we should say, even according to Abai and that they would have paid earlier. So Rebbe didn't really understand this Rash, but we left it as a Tzarech Iyun. And then we saw the last answer again for Tosfos, possibly as to why also here we said that a person wouldn't pay back their rent earlier than it actually is due, according to Abai and Rava, is because when it comes to paying back a rent, there's also a big concern that maybe the house will fall down, or maybe the moshke, the guy that's lending your house, his own house is going to fall down, and he's going to be able to kick you out of your own house because Schiros is lav kanya, which again, Rebbe said, but that's also not such a strong raya nowadays, because the Rush, who says Schiros nowadays is kanya, right? No one will be able to rent a house to someone and then decide to kick him out. And two, even back when we said Schiros is lav kanya, it didn't mean that the moshke has the ability to just walk in the middle of the rental period and kick you out of the house. It just means that time period after the rent period is over, normally we say that the moshker should be a Mr. Nice Guy and should allow you to have a few extra days to stay there. So, but we say, no, Schiros is lav kanya, that if the moshker really needs it, he's going to be able to kick you out of the house. And therefore, in a situation where his house would fall down, so those few days he'll be able to say, okay, you got to leave. I'm not going to be a Mr. Nice Guy anymore to you. So again, those are all the different reasons into understanding Abai and Rava, who their shita is that a person would normally pay back. So we were bothered if it's really true that a person would normally pay back. So why do we see that by Pinyan Ben, we say that the kid's going to be b'cheska shalom nifta? So we saw all those different explanations as to why even Abai and Rava would say in this case that they would want to pay their debt back earlier. Going on to the next sugya. Take a drink for a second. Any other questions? Good? Rosenberg, Mr. Alter? Okay. So, the next question we saw, going back to Reish Lakish, is Chazaka, in Adam Perea, Tochsmano. The Gemara then said that this psak that we have of Reish Lakish, that we could assume that a person didn't pay his back, pay the debts back earlier, so that even applies to Yesomim. And therefore, even though normally we say, Habali Pare, Menichse Yesomim, Trichin Li Yeshaba, if a person goes to someone lent $100 to someone, and that guy died, so he wants to go to the Yesomim, the kids of that guy, and demand for the money back, the $100 back. So we say normally, he has to go to the Yisom and take a swear that their father didn't pay back the money. However, we say that Rish Lakish's psak of chazaka ein adam pro'etos mano is such a strong chazaka, and therefore that is even going to apply to Yisomim, that if a person is going to go ahead before this man and want to collect from these Yisomim, that we're not going to require him to take a shvuah, and we're going to say that it's enough to come to these Yisomim and to say, listen, your father didn't pay me, and it's already in the middle of the deadline, so it's normal, chazaka in adam paritos mano. It's very likely that your father did not pay me back yet. And on top of that, look, I even have the star on my hand, star shall be held in my body. If your father really did pay me back already, so then he would have ripped the star up. So the Gemara goes and on daf hey and takes Reish Lakish a step further to say that the chazaka in adam paritos mano is even going to be by Yisomim, that although normally we require you to take a shvuah, we're not going to require you to take a shvuah when you're going to try to collect from Yisomim before this man, because we assume that it's likely that their father did not pay back earlier, and you still have the star on your hand, so star chal b'yadi my bai. So we wanted to understand just what is that? What is the reason for that din of, in general, habali farim nechle yisomim tzrichim liyishabe? Why do we say that if a person wants to collect from yisomim, he has to go ahead and take a shvuah? Just because they're yisomim, we have to be nice? I mean, it's a nice thing, you feel bad, but if their father owed someone money, he should have the right to be able to get his money. So why do we all of a sudden say, because they're yisomim, oh, tzrich liyishabe? The guy is coming with a star. He's saying, look, your father didn't pay me back. If your father really paid me back, he should have ripped up the star. So why do we say, habali par menechsei som trichin li shabbat? That's the question we wanted to understand. So we said, because we saw in the Mishnah in Shavuos and Aleph that a stam malve, if let's say a malve comes to a love and says, Mr. Love, I want you to pay me back my $100. And love turns to the malve and says, what do you mean? I already paid you back $100. So the Malva says, that's not true. Star chal b'yadi my bai. Look, I still have the document that you owe me $100. So we say, in that situation, the Lova actually has the right to turn to the Malva and say, swear that I didn't pay you it. That even though the Malva has the star in his hand and we should believe the Malva, we give the koach to this Lova to be able to turn to the Malva and say, swear that I didn't pay you back yet. So Rashi in Kshubis and Pezayin takes this a step further. And he says that we see that so too when it comes to a father. If let's say this guy would have came to the father of the Yisomim and say, give me back this field, Tos Mano, right, earlier before this man, the father would have been able to claim to this guy, Parati. He could have said, what do you mean? I paid you back already. And the guy would have had to have taken a Shvuah. So we see that what? That's why we're going to go ahead and be towing for the Yisomim, because if their father would have been alive when their father would have been demanded to pay back the debt, he would have had a good taina of parati. He would have been able to say, I paid you, and he would be able to force this guy to take a shvuah that he didn't pay the money back. So just how we say that a love is able to demand a shvuah for the malve to be able to collect, even though he has shtarach b'yadi my bai, so too we give the koach to a father, obviously, to be able to say parati and to demand a shvuah that he actually didn't pay back yet. So because of that, when this guy is going to try to collect from the Yisomim of their dead father, so we don't want, these Yisomim don't know if their father paid back or not. So it's Nebuch, they don't have anyone to speak for them. So we're going to say, Rashi tells us over here in Kshubas Pezayin, that's where we're going to be towing for the Yisomim, because their father would have been in towing and their father would have made him make a shvuah. So too, we're going to be able to be towing for these Yisomim in place of their father and be able to make the guy make a shvuah. And that's why we say, Habali Parim Menechle Yisomim Charinchli Yisha. Because Shtar Chal B'Yadi Mabai is not so strong as we see a person, a Lova, is able to demand a Shvuah still. And therefore, because if the father is dead, the Yisomim, the father can't make that claim. So we're going to be able to make that claim in place of the father for the Yisomim and demand the Shvuah. And that's why we say, Habali Parim Nechli Yisomim, Tzarech Li Yishabe. So Tosos and Shvuah's Malav, though, has a trouble in understanding that explanation. Because he says that we see from the Mishnah in Kshubas Pei Zayin that we don't necessarily are towing for Yisomim in place of their father. Because if let's say a father, let's say someone turned to his wife and said, you know what, I want to be mochel on my schus of being able to demand you for you to take a shvuah, right? If a person, Rahman al-Salam, divorces his wife, so, and the wife now wants to collect the ksuba, and the wife goes to the husband and says, I want my ksuba back. So the husband could technically, because I never received the ksuba yet, the husband could technically say to the wife, I want you to take a shvuah that I never paid you. And the wife would have to. So we said, if let's say the father, the husband, turned to the wife and said at one point, you know, I'm going to be mochel on my right to be able to ever demand you take a shvuah. And therefore, if there's ever a divorce, you're always going to be able to take the money from me, and I'm not going to be able to say, swear that I already, that I didn't pay you yet. So what happens if that father died? And now this wife wants to go and collect from the Yisomim. Do we make her take a shvua that she still didn't collect the ksuba from the father or not? So we say that we Beis Din would actually be towing for the Yisomim, and we would make her take a shvua. So Tosa says, why would that be? If we just said before that we're only towing because the father would have been able to have been towing, so then why now, if the father was mochel is right to be forcing the shvua for his wife, why now that the father dies, is Beis Din allowed to go ahead and be towing for these Yisomim? So we saw Rabbi Chanan develop this hakira of Yish Lachkor. Why? Before we get to Rabbi Chanan, getting too excited here. But so therefore, Tosos and Shuas give a different reason as to why we're towing, and he says it must be over Rabbanon to constantly Yosmei Afilu Makom Sheina Av Yachol Lashbia. And it must be that Chazal made a takana that we're always going to be towing for Yisomim and make the guy go ahead and swear, even if their father would not have been able to make a shvua. So Rav Chanan says, Yesh Lachkor, why are we towing? Are we towing Mikalach Ha'av, or are we towing Mikalach Ha'Yisomim? So it seems to be that according to Tosfos, we're towing Mikalach Ha'av. And therefore, because we're towing Mikalach Ha'av, we're towing in place of their father, so it was very hard for Tosfos to understand why the Mishnah and Ksubas Pei Zayin said that we'd be able to be towing for these Yisomim, because the father was Mochel is right. So if the father is Mochel is right, we never should be able to be in place of the father and be able to be towing it anymore, because once the father is Mochel, so these Yisomim don't have the opportunity. And that's why Tosfos was forced to go down the path of saying that the reason why we could be towing in the Tosfos and Shuas Mem Aleph is because of Adur Rabbanan Takanta Liyasmei. It's something totally different. It has nothing to do with this Kawach Ha'av. And then we saw that, and therefore Rav Chanan says, but according to Rashi, he must learn that it's a special Kawach HaYisomim, that when we're towing for the Yisomim, it's not that we're being towing in place necessarily of their father, because he's not bothered with the Mishnah and Ksubas Pei Zayin, but it's really that we have, the Yisomim have their own Taina, and therefore if the Yisomim have their own Taina to be able to go and force this Shvua. And that's why Rashi was not bothered in Ksubas Pei Zayin, because even though their father lost out on his opportunity, because he was Mochel, that doesn't take away from these Yisomim to be able to go ahead and be Mochel and force the mother to go ahead and to take a Shavua. We then saw other trying to go Lishi Tasso. We saw other very complicated Rai over here, which is that as follows. We said that Tosfos seemingly allows us in Bobasa Nafayin to use two Migos that shouldn't really be allowed. What do I mean by that? If a person is takes out a loan, right, and he's now a lova, and the Malva says, "I want you to pay me," and he has a star in his hand to say, "I want you to pay me." So the lova seemingly has a migo, because what could he say? The lova could turn to the Malva to be believed, even though the Malva has a star in his hand, and he could say, "Believe me when I say parua." When I said that I paid you back this loan already, because Migo, I could have said Mizuyof. I could have said that this star that you have in your hand is forged. And then you would have had to do Kiyom Staros. So believe me now when I say Parua. And the second case is if, let's say, a person's a Shomer. So a person's a Shomer, and he's watching over this item. And now the Mafkid says, I want you to give me my item back. And the Shomer claims, Hechzarti, what do you mean? I already returned you the item. So should we're also going to be allowed to believe the Shomer in that such a case, because he also has a Migo on his side. Why? Because he should be believed for the fact that he's saying Hechzarti, Migo, he could have said Nanes. Migo, he could have said that he was Bones. We should be able to believe the Shomer when he says Hechzarti, because if he would have said Ones, he would have been off the hook completely, because the Shomer is Shomer Chinam, he's not Chayv for any Ones, and therefore he wouldn't have to pay back anything. So for the fact is that he's saying Hechzarti and he didn't say Ones, we should believe. So therefore, we then had a question. What happens if the Shomer died? And now the Yisomim are watching that object, and it comes along the Mafkid and demands for the Yisomim to return the object back to him. So are we allowed to go ahead and to be towing to have this Migo or not? So Tosfos says, absolutely, Beis Din's allowed to be towing for these Yisomim. As we just saw before, we want to be towing for these Yisomim, and we don't want these Yisomim to be left out to dry. So when this Mafkid is coming to these Nebuch Yisomim and saying, listen, I want my item back that your father was watching for me, these Yisomim don't know what happened and what their father did with this item. So we say that we could be towing for these Yisomim, and we're going to be able to be towing what? We're going to be able to be towing Hechzarti, that their father paid them back, Migo, that they could have said Ones. The problem is that Migo, that Beis Din, is not able to be towing Ones. Why? Because Tosfos tells us Yisod Gadol that we're only allowed to be towing things that are shkichi, things that are common. Something that is low shkichi, something that is not common, Beis Din is not allowed to be towing. Because if something is shkichi to take place, so then, okay, people would hear about it. So it's something that you'd be able to be towing, Beis Din would be able to be towing. But if something is low shkichi, something's like out of the ordinary, some onus kind of happened, so everyone would have heard about it. Everyone would have heard about this natural or a hurricane that happened, or natural disaster that happened, and therefore, Beis Din can't be towing it for the Yisomim. Beis Din could only be towing something that is shkichi, that is common to happen. But if something's not common to happen, so we won't allow Beis Din to make such a taina. And therefore, seemingly it's a pella, but Tosfos is making a chiddush gadol that what? That even though Beis Din can't be towing onus on them by themselves because it's low shkichi, they're going to be able to be towing hechzarti migo onus because that's what the father originally could have been towing, and so too by mizuyof. It's not a common thing by shtaros for a person to forge a star, so Beis Din wouldn't be able to have the koach to be towing mizuyof. But nevertheless, Tosfos says that we'll be able to be towing for these yisomim parua migo. They could have said mizuyof. So why in the world would that possibly be true? So that, if you're wondering that question, that's exactly what the Ramban was saying. The Ramban was saying, "Ba'achir shei yisod haros heich yiskayim abinyan." Once we say that Beis Din can't be towing onus and Beis Din can't be towing mizuyof, so how can we allow Beis Din to use the migo and be towing paru amigo mizuyof or hechzarti migo nanas if they can't have that claim of onus or mizuyof? So this Rav Chanan said. Is also potentially the Nekuz Machokas between Tosfos and Ramban here, is that same Nekuz Machokas between Tosfos and Rashi, and Tosfos and the Shitaso about whether when we're towing, it comes Mikoach Av or Mikoach HaYisomim. According to Tosfos, it comes Mikoach Av, and therefore, because it comes Mikoach Av, so because the father himself would have been able to make the claim of Parua, Migo, I could have said Mizuyof, and Hechzarti, Migo, I could have said Ones, Beis Din is allowed to be towing it, because even though Beis Din themselves can't be making that claim, because the whole koach of being towing comes Mikoach Ha'av, so because the father, when he was alive, would have been able to make that Migo, so too Beis Din can. Which is why Tosfos allowed the Migo to be good. But the Ramban, he said, no, Ma'akar Shei Sod Har, Chech Yishkayim Abin, because he was learning like Rashi, he was learning that the koach of Taninan is for the Yisomim themselves, and Beis Din is only towing for the Yisomim. It's not they're not replacing the father, which is why he's not bothered by that Mishnah in Ksubis Pei Zayin, which Rashi had to address, and which is why we, according to the Ramban, it doesn't make sense how this Migo would be able to work, and therefore he has to give different answers as to why Beis Din would be able to be towing. But he would hold that Beis Din would not be able to be towing because from the fact that they're towing by them for the Yisomim themselves is not in place of the father. So because they can't be towing Onus and they can't be towing Mizuyof, we're going to have to go ahead and throw that Migo away. But Tosfos says in the Shitaso that Tanina comes Mikoach Av, and therefore because the Av would have been able to make such a Taina of Parua, Migo, Mizuyof, and Chazati Migo, I could have said Onus, so too Beis Din would be able to do it because they're in place of the father. And then last part of the Sugya, we wanted to know what kind of Yisomim are we talking about in our Gemara on Daf Hei. That when we say, Reish Lakish says, Chazaka in Adam Parei Tosmano, even by Yisomim, that you're going to be allowed to collect from this guy's Yisomim below Shvua when you come with your star. So are you allowed, is that talking about Yisomim Gedolim or Yisomim Kitanim? So what do I mean by that? So the Gemara in Erechim on Daf Chav Beis tells us that we're only allowed to be Goveh from Yisomim Gedolim, but we're not allowed to be Goveh from Yisomim Kitanim. Why? Why is that? So it's machlokes between Rav Papa and Rav Huna, why we're not allowed to be Gove from Yisomim Ketanim. According to Rav Papa, the reason why we're not allowed to be Gove from Yisomim Ketanim is because Ketanim are lav b'nei mitzvahs ninu. And Rav Papa learns that a Piron Achov is a mitzvah. And therefore, because Rav Papa learns Piron Achov is a mitzvah, he understands that Ketanim are lav b'nei mitzvahs ninu, and that's why we're not allowed to be Gove from Yisomim Ketanim. Rav Huna, however, He doesn't learn Piron Achov to be a mitzvah. He learns Piron Achov to be able to be the right for Beis Din to go ahead and to rightfully you have to rightfully give back what you own to the person. And therefore, it's not a mitzvah, but that a person has to physically give back what he owes. And therefore, Rav Huna doesn't say that Ketan Alabanei Mitzvah Sinu, because he's not learning, he's not talking about a mitzvah. Piron Achov is not a mitzvah according to him. That's according to Rav Papa, and that's why we're not allowed to be Gover from Yisomim Ketanim, because they're so small. So why according, because they're small and they're Labanei Mitzvah Sinu. So why according to Rav Huna then, are we not allowed to be Gover from Yisroelim Ketanim. So he says because we're worried that these Yisroelim Ketanim are going to get ripped off because maybe their father gave Tzuri Apasei. Maybe their father, before he died, wanted to appease and wanted to felt bad to the guy he owed money to, and he gave him a nice mashko and he gave him a nice amount of money to say, okay, here, this is going to go and pay until who knows how long. So we're worried now that what's going to happen, this Malveh is trying to rip off the Yisomim. He's going to go to the Yisomim. He's going to pretend like he never got a Tziriyat. He's going to demand for the entire money from them. So we don't want these Yisomim to get ripped off. So we wait for them to be Yisomim Gedolim when they're going to be mature enough to be able to investigate and make sure to find out if their father paid the Tziriyat Vasei or not. And therefore, what are we going to say over here? We're going to say that the nafkamina between Rapapa and Rufuna will be as follows. Nafkamina between Rapapa and Rufuna will be, if let's say you know Vadai that the father didn't pay Tziriyat Vasei. So if you know Vada, the father didn't pay Tziriyat Vasei, so according to Rav Huna, if you know Vada, the father didn't pay Tziriyat Vasei, so then you're going to be allowed to be gover from the Yisom Ketanim. Why? Because there's no chashash, they're going to get ripped off, because we know their father didn't pay it, so the Yisom Ketanim owe the money, so we're going to be able to be gover from them. But according to Rav Papa, even if you know Vada, their father didn't pay back the money, and didn't give Tziriyat Vasei, you're not going to be allowed to go ahead and be gover from them. Because according to Rav Papa, the reason why we can't be gover from Yisom Ketanim is because there's Lav B'nei Mitzvahs Ninu. And because Ketanim are Lav B'nei Mitzvahs Ninu, that's the reason why we're not allowed to go ahead and be gover. And therefore, we wanted to say possibly that according to Rav Papa, for sure, our Gemara must be talking about Yisom Gedolim. Because it's EF Sharp, no matter what, that you're going to be able to be gover from Yisom Ketanim because there's Lav B'nei Mitzvahs Ninu. And again, as an aside, the Ramban, we saw a Ramban that wanted to say, what gives us the right, what gives Bezin the right to be kofa someone to pay back a chov? So according to the Ramban, the ability to be kofa someone to pay back a chov is to be kofa b'mitzvah. So you're allowed to be kofa b'mitzvah's aseh. So that's again, according to Rav Papa, that piran a chov is going to be a mitzvah. But according to Rav Huna, who holds that it's not a mitzvah, so the ability to be kofin, to be able to be pay a chov, is because Bezin has a right to restore justice and to give back what the rightful owners, whoever the land actually belongs to. So again, now going back to our Gemara, as we saw, the nafkamina between Rav Papa and Rav Huna would be, if you know Vadai, the father didn't give Tziriyat Vasei. So according to Rav Papa, no matter what, we're not going to be able to collect from Yisom Ketanim. But according to Rav Huna, we could entertain the possibility that if they're Yisom Ketanim, and we know Vada, their father, didn't pay Tziriyat Vasei, so we know Vada, they're not going to get ripped off, so then we will be able to go ahead and be able to collect from these Yisomim Ketanim. So, therefore, maybe we could use this Chazakah of Reish Lakish, and say, because there's a Chazakah in Adam Parei Tochsmano, so we know Vadai, that their father didn't pay the Tziriyat Vasei. Because why in the world would their father pay the Tziriyat Vasei if before the Zman Piron took place? This is all happening before the Zman Piron. And we know Reish Lakish says, Chazaka in Adam Parei Tochsmano. And that's a Vada, that's a Binus Adam. We know for sure someone doesn't pay back. So therefore, we could use that Chazaka to be able to say that the Tziriyat Vasei wasn't paid. And therefore, we could entertain the possibility, according to Rav Huna, that maybe we're talking about Yisomim Ketanim over here. But then Rebbe did say that maybe that's not so true. Maybe we're getting a little too excited because maybe the Chazaka of Reish Lakish of in Adam Parei Tochsmano is dafka in Adam Porea Tochsmano. Nothing about in Adam Porea Tziriyat Vasei Tochsmano. That's a new thing, whether a person would even pay Tziriyat Vasei before. That's a totally different Shiloh. And therefore, if you're going to go down that path, so then we're going to be back down to our issue that we don't know Vada that Tziriyat Vasei wasn't paid, according to Reish Lakish. And therefore, we're going to have to say that we must be talking about Yisomim Gedolim and not talking about Yisomim Ketanim. So we wanted to know, are there any rayas as to whether or not the Gemara actually meant Yisomim Ketanim or Yisomim Gedolim? So we said that maybe you could potentially say a proof that from the fact that the Mishnah, when it lists off all the steps of Reish Lakish and how far the Chiddush were taking Reish Lakish, so you would have thought that if we would have been able to include also that we're talking about Yisom Ketanim, this Chiddush Gadol, that we could even assume Tziriyat Vasei wasn't paid. So you would think that the Gemara would throw in a line of Afilu Yashme Ketanim. For the fact that the Gemara didn't say Afilu Yashme Ketanim, maybe we could see that it's not a Vadai, that this Chazak of Reish Lakish does not extend also to paying the Tziriyat Vasei. But then Rebbe again said, maybe that's not so true, because maybe the Gemara just wanted to be L'chul Yama, because according to Rav Papa, as we saw, you, no matter what, even if you want to say that it's Vadai, that the Tziriyat Vasei wasn't paid, even Rav Papa would say that you can't be Gove from these Yisom and Ketanim, because it's their Lab B'nei Mitzvahs Ninu. And then we wanted to try to maybe give another raya from the Gemara in Erevin and Chabez, that from the fact that Gemara in Erevin and Chabez didn't use this Gemara in Bavasa Dafhe as another nafkamina between Rav Huna and Rav Papa as to whether or not we're going to be able to be gover from Katanim, Yisom Katanim. So maybe that also shows that really there is no machlokas over here, because even Rav Huna would agree that it has to be talking about Yisom Gedolim, because we would not apply Rish Lakishes of Chazaka and on Praya Tosmano to Tsuriyapase as well. So again, that's really that sugya. Referring to Rish Lakish about Chazaka in Adam Parei Tosmano Afilu Le Yisomin. Now, if you have the stamina to go further, I know it's getting long, so people have to leave. It is totally fine. You guys can leave. Don't want to hold you hostage out over here. But we're gonna go ahead now to the last sugya and discuss the last part that's gonna be on Parakas Shutvin. That's gonna be on this Bechina coming up.
So you want maybe to take a couple minute break?
I'm good.
You, not for me.
I'm good. I feel good. Are you guys good?
I am.
Okay, let's keep going. I know these are hard sigas, but this is good. It's a good review for me also. So the Gemara Daf Hey says as follows. We know that if a Malvin, and this is probably the hardest sigya I think in all of Ashutvin, so let's be ready for this one. The Gemara on Daf Hey says that what happens if a Malvin comes after the Zman Piron? And the Lova claims to the Malva that he already paid before the Zman. So what's the din? What's the din? The Malva is coming already after the Zman Piron, and he's saying to the Lova, you owe me $100, and you were supposed to pay me this a week ago. And the Lova responds, what do you mean? I already paid you 5 months ago, even before the deadline was due. So who's right? On the one hand, the Lova has a Migo. What's the Migo that the Lova has? The Lova has a Migo that he could have said back to the Malva, I paid you b'toch zmana. And then he would have been believed, because the Malva was coming after the Piron with no shtar. So because the Malva came after the Zman Piron and he had no shtar, so he had no shtar chal b'yadi my boy, and he was just trying to say, listen, it's already after the Zman, pay me. So all the Lova had to say with his mouth was, what do you mean? I paid you at the Zman. And we would have been able to believe the Lova, and we would have said, Amotzi Michal Levero, Alavaraya, to the Malva, because the Malva doesn't have a star anymore, and we believe a Lova to say that he paid back the debt, because most people do pay back their debts on time. And now the Shaila only is now, that the Lova now is saying that he paid back before this Zman. So now, once he opened up his mouth and he said before, and he didn't say that I paid you back at this Zman, so now we're in trouble, because as we saw Rish Lakish, Chazaka ain't adam parei tosmano. So who's going to be believed? Are we going to believe the Lova? Because he has amigo that he could have said that I paid bismano, so therefore believe him, even though now he's saying before Zmano. Or we're going to believe the Malve, because Chazaka in Adam Proyeto Zmano, and therefore once the Lova said that he paid before Zmano, we can't believe such a claim, because most people don't pay before the Zman. So as Rebbe put this, it was a one-liner in Shir, but I wrote it down, this is his Lashon. Really, the Shaila that we're being omit on is who wins? Do we say migo b'makom de'ika Chazaka demare le'dibure or not? That's really the way we say it. Because on one hand, the Lova has a Migo on his hand, but the Migo that the Lova has is something that you can't really claim, because there's a Chazaka going against your Migo. Because we want to say that the Lova should be able to be believed. Migo, he could have said that he paid Bismano. So now that the Lova is saying that he paid before the Zman, which is going against the Chazaka, could we still believe that Migo or not? That's the question. So Tosfos, on the spot, he says, I don't understand. What's the suffix of this Gemara? We're going to have to do the transitive property and do some math right over here. He says, what's the suffix over here? Why are we besuffix about whether or not a Chazaka is going to be able to beat the Migo, or if a Migo is going to be able to beat the Chazaka? Because the Gemara leaves it as a suffix. The Gemara is not sure whether or not we're going to believe the Lova or we're going to believe the Malva. So Tosa wants to know, what's the suffix? Because we know that a Chazaka is stronger than Shtar Chal B'Yadi My Bayi. How do we know that a Chazaka is stronger than Shtar Chal B'Yadi My Bayi? Because we saw earlier from our Gemaras that if a person, if a Malveh is going to come to go ahead and demand money before the Zman Piron, to be collect the Zman, so we allow him to collect the money without a Shvuah. Because we are going to invoke Rish Lakish, and we're going to say Chazaka in Adam Parei Tosmano. And therefore, if a Malveh comes before the deadline to pay actually comes, and he's demanding the Lova to pay him back money, we're going to say that he could demand the money from the Lova even without a Shvuah, because Chazaka in Adam Parei Tosmano. However, if a Malva comes at the actual Zman Piron, and he comes with a Shtar, So we're going to allow the Malva to win, the Din Torah, and he's going to be able to collect the money from the Lova, but that's only if he takes a Shavua. So we see that what? A Chazakah is much stronger than a Shtar. Because when the Malva came with the Chazakah of Ein Adam Parei Toch Zmano before the Zman, he was able to be Gover from the Lova even without a Shavua. But when he comes Bizman Piran with his Shtar in his hand, we allow him to be Gover from the Lova, but we say he has to take a Shavua. So clearly we see from there that a Chazakah is much stronger than a Shtar. And we know that a star beats a Migo, which we're going to explain later. So if a star beats a Migo, just stay with me now. If a star beats a Migo, obviously the Chazakah will also be able to beat the Migo. Because again, once we prove that a Chazakah is stronger than a star, because by a Chazakah you don't have to take a Shvuah to be able to be Gove from the Love, but by a star you would. And we know that a star beats a Migo. So very simple equation. If Chazakah beats a star and star beats a Migo, so then, the Chazakah should be able to beat Amigo. So Tosfos is asking on our Gemara, what's the suffix over here? Of course we should say that the Chazakah should be able to beat the Amigo, and therefore the Malve should be able to collect the money. So when the Malve came at the Zman Piron, demanding for the money, even though the Lova had this Amigo, we shouldn't listen to the Amigo of the Lova, because the Chazakah of Ein Adam Parei Toch Zmano is much stronger, because of the transitive property that Chazakah is stronger than a Shtar, and a Shtar beats Amigo, and we know that a Chazakah beats, and therefore a Chazakah should go ahead and be able to beat a Migo. So the missing link to this equation for us to be able to understand Tosfos Kasha is we have to prove how a star beats a Migo. Because we already proved that a Chazakah is stronger than a star, because by a Chazakah you don't have to take the Shavua. But how in the world do we know that a star beats a Migo? Once we could prove that a star beats a Migo, so then Tosfos Kasha comes in existence, because then we could say that Chazakah is stronger than a star. Star beats a Migo. So if a star can beat a Migo, and a Chazakah is stronger than a star, so of course a Chazakah can beat the Migo. So how in the world do we know that a star beats a Migo? So the Gemara in Shavuos Memhei is as follows. The Gemara tells us that a Shomer needs to take a Shavua that he was nenas in order to be able to be off the hook. If someone was watching an item and the guy is demanding for him to pay back the item, so the shomer just needs to take a shvuah and say that an onus happened and therefore he's off the hook and doesn't have to pay back the guy. So Rabbi Rechama in that Gemara asks, why do we make the shomer take a shvuah? He should be believed just by saying nenas. Why should he be believed just by saying nenas? Because this shomer has a good migo on his side. What's the migo? He could have turned back to the mafkid and said, Lo hi advarim ba'olam, you never lent me anything. You never told me to watch something. Kofar b'kol. And he'd be believed. If a person's kofar b'kol, he's good. He's off the hook. So why do we have to? Why did the Gemara say in Shavuos that he had to take a Shavua that he was nanas? Just say nanas as a shomer and you should be believed. Migo, you could have said Lo hi advarim ba'olam. So the Gemara answers, no, hachma eskinam, because there are Edim there. Edim saw that he gave you this thing to watch. So Rabbi Yochanan doesn't give up. And he says, no, even so, even if there are Edim that saw this transaction happening, that you were supposed to watch this item, he should still be able to be believed without a Shavua. Why? Migo, he could have said Parati. He could have said that he paid him back. And if he would have said he paid him back, he would have been believed, because the guy has no star. This Mafkid at this point has no star. And therefore, from the fact that he says Nenes instead of Parati, we should go ahead and believe with this Migo. So the reason why we say at the end of the day that we're not going to be able to believe him by saying Parati is because the guy actually has a star in his hand. So because the guy actually has a star in his hand, how in the world could you claim Parati? You're turning to the guy that lent you it, and you're saying Hechzarti, you're saying Parati, you're saying I give it back to you. The guy's saying Shtar Chaviyadi, my boy. What do you mean I have a star in my hand? So you can't make the Migo of Ones, Migo I could have claimed Parati, because Hachem Ha'eskinan, and the guy has a star in his hand. But what do we see from this? If the guy would not have had a star in his hand, we had a good Migo. We would have been able to say, Ones, Migo, I could have claimed Parati. So all the Rishonim asked, is that, how in the world could that be? All Shavuos Shomrim, all those Gemaras and Bamatziah that you have to take a Shavua, it's all talking about Hachem Ha'eskinan, where the guy has a star with him, because otherwise a Migo would have been able to work. That's seemingly what we're saying. That's crazy. So that's why Tosfos ends up answering that no, it must be that Rabbi Rechama is an exception. And that normally, Amigo beats a star, normally beats a shtar. And over here, Rebbe Chama is an exception that we're going to allow the shtar to override amigo. Because otherwise, with all these shvuas, we would be saying it's hachem ma'eskinon where the guy has a shtar. Because normally we would say in general that amigo would beat a shtar in a chanami. And it's just that this is an exception over here that we're not going to allow it to go ahead and to win. So now we want to understand. So why is it that in this Gemara, we say that the amigo in this case won't work against the shtar? Why is that? What's the exception? So we saw two answers, one by the Rimigas and one by the Rush. The Rimigas says, because you're only allowed to use amigo to patur you from mamonos. That's the chiddush of amigo. You can't use amigo to patur you from a shvua. Which, by the way, we wanted to ask, why is that true? Why do we say that you're only allowed to use amigo to patur you from mamonos, not by shvua? So I'm going out of order, but I think it's good to just bring in the taz now, which is because amigo is a great birur, but if it's efshel avarer, right, if you're b'makom edim, or right now in our case, if you're able to take a shvua, so we don't want you to rely on amigo. We would rather you go ahead and to take a shvua, and that's why amigo can't patur you from a shvua. So that's why in this case, we're not going to allow him to go ahead and rely on this amigo, because you're trying to patur yourself from taking a shvua of nenes, and we're not going to allow you to use amigo to patur you from a shvua. We only allow you to use amigo to be able to get you out of mamonos cases, according to the Rush. He says, no. What does that mean? By definition, every time you try to patur yourself from a shvua, you're really patur yourself from dini mamonos, right? Even in our case right now. By patur yourself from the shvua, so now you don't have to pay back the guy money. So the Rush doesn't understand really the chilek of the Rimigash, and therefore he says that what's the reason why in this case we say the migo doesn't work? So he says it's because this is a migo da'aza. To say parati, to turn to the guy that you were watching the item and say, I gave it back to you, when you know you didn't actually give it back, that's amigo da'aza. That's so crazy for you to be able to make such a claim. And that's why Rebbe Chama is an exception over here, and we say that the amigo will fail. But otherwise, normally, amigo would beat a shtar. So then we asked, wait a second, why don't we just flip the amigo? Why can't we say parati? Why can't we say that, have this shomer say that he paid back? Amigo, he could have claimed onus. Because now it's not amigo da'aza. And we should be able to say that it should work. So Rebbe Chama says, no, this is where we see, because even so, even though you would have a good migo, there's a shtar. There's a shtar. And therefore, even though you would have a good migo to be able to say, parati, migo, I could have claimed onus, because that's not going to be a migo da'aza. We're not going to, the reason why in Shuas Memhei, we say that that's not going to be allowed, and you're going to have to take a shvua, is because, hachamai eskinon, the guy has a shtar in his hand. And therefore, again, we see that Rebbe Chama must be an exception, because now we're saying that the amigo is not going to work because the star is there. Because in general, we would allow amigo to be able to override a star. And again, for whatever reasons, either the Rimigash or the Rush that we saw. So that answers Tosus's question. Because Tosus's question was, we needed to try to figure out, how do we know that a star beats amigo? So we found one case, the Gemara in Shvus Memhei shows us that a shtar beats amigo. How in the world do we see from this Gemara and Shuas Memhei that a shtar beats amigo? So we saw that a shtar is able to beat amigo from that last amigo that we brought in. That amigo, you could have claimed, amigo, you could have claimed ones. And therefore we see from that the shtar would beat amigo, which is why Tosos wanted to say, I don't understand. So then isn't it so obvious? Why are we besuffic whether or not a chazakah should beat amigo? If we have a transitive property and a chazakah is stronger than a star, and a star beats amigo from the Gemara in Shvus Memhei, because you could claim parati, amigo, you could have claimed ones. And therefore we should say that the chazakah obviously beats the amigo in this case. To which Tosos answers, no, because Rebbe Rechama, the Gemara in Shvus Memhei, is the exception. And that really, we would say that amigo beats a star, and the star doesn't actually beat amigo. Because as we mentioned before, it'll be very hard to understand why then all these cases are hachamai eskinon of shvuas, or hachamai eskinon where there is a star. Because normally we would say that amigo would be able to beat a star. And where else do we see this? The Rashbam spells this out even clearer within Tosfos, which is that the Gemara in Baba Basra Daf Ayin asks the same exact question. The Gemara is Dan and asks, Mefurish, what wins? Is Amigo going to win, or is a Shtar going to win? When you have Shtar Chaviyadim my boy going against Amigo, what wins? And the Gemara Baba Basra Daf Ayin, Rav Amram, B'Shem Rav Chista says that the Amigo would win. So Rashbam simply says, oh, we see that we passing like this Gemara, that the Amigo wins. How do we know that it seems that we see that we paskin like this Gemara, says Tosfos in the Rashbam? Because that's why our Gemara is Mesupak in Baba Basra on Daf Hei. Because if you would hold that shtar beats amigo, so then you'd have Tosfos kasha. Wait a second, isn't it obvious using the transitive property that the chazaka should be able to beat the amigo? Because if a chazaka is better than a shtar, and a shtar beats amigo, so then of course chazaka should beat amigo. So no, we just answered because Rabbi Rucham is the exception, and really we paskin like the Gemara and Babasra Daf Ayin, like Rav Chista, Ravam and B'shem Rav Chista, that amigo wins over a shtar, and therefore because a win, amigo wins over a shtar, so now it's not so pashut about whether or not we will say that the chazaka will be able to beat the amigo, because we don't have that transitive property. Was that part clear? Because that part was very complicated, but was that understood? Yeah? Okay, good. So going to now to the next part of the sugya, because that was just trying to understand Tosfos Kasha. Again, Tosfos Kasha was under the impression originally in the Havamina that Rabbi Rechama must be right, that the Gemara in Shruas Memhei that a shtar beats amigo, and that's why he said, I understand, isn't so obvious. To which he said, no, it's machlokas amarayim, ayin v'abashu daf ayin Rav Chista, and really in general we would say that amigo would beat a shtar, and therefore it's not so pashtun, and that's why Gemara leaves it as being besafik. So then we asked, according to the Rashbam, who brings down that we passing like the Gemara Babasar Daf Ayin, that amigo beats a shtar, the Rashbam asked himself, why is that true? Why is it true that amigo would beat a shtar if we know that there's a din of amigo b'makom edim lo aminan? So great. We had a question, does amigo beat a shtar? And we just proved that we passed amigo beat a shtar, and therefore we were able to understand why Gemara was suffake, because it's not such an obvious equation like Tosfos said. But I understand. Why is it true that amigo beat a shtar? If amigo is going against a shtar, and isn't a shtar edus, right? Amigo b'makom edim lo arminan. So how do we know amigo b'makom edim lo arminan? So we know that from the Gemara b'metzia on Pei Aleph. Gemara b'metzia says that if someone is a socher and rents out a donkey, and the guy that rents it to him says, listen, do me a favor. I'm going to rent you out my donkey, but make sure don't go down that the path on the left. It's very watery. There's snakes. It's very dangerous. And it's a big sakana. You're going to go ahead and you're going to get hurt. And the animal might die. And sure enough, the guy takes it, rents it, and he comes back with the dead animal. So he goes to the rentee, the mosque here, and he says, I'm so sorry, but, you know, I went down the path that you told me not to go down, but I'm telling you right now, It did not die because of the path. There was no water. There were no snakes. It was perfect. It just had a heart attack, the animal. It just randomly just dropped dead. I don't know what happened, but it was not because of the path. It was not because anything dangerous happened. So could we? Who do we believe? Do we believe the guy or not? So seemingly, he has a good amigo because he could have said to the mosque here, I never went down the path. It died naturally. So the fact that he opened up his mouth and said, by the way, I went down the path he told me not to, but the path was kosher and the path was fine, so maybe we should believe him. So the Gemara says, yeah, we could believe him. However, if there are edim that testify that there were water in that path and there was danger in that path, so then we're not going to be able to believe the Migo, because Migo makom edim lo aminan. Migo is not going to be able to trump edus. And therefore, we now want to understand, so why in the world could we say that amigo would be able to beat a shtar? If seemingly shtar, right, everyone knows that shtar has edus. Shtar has testimony on it. So how in the world could amigo be able to beat the shtar if we say amigo b'makom edim lo arminan? So the Rishbam answers very simply. He says because a shtar is just saying that a transaction took place. It's saying that so-and-so sold such and such to this guy, or lent such and such to this guy. But a shtar is not proving whether or not it was payback or not. Just because you have a shtar in your hand doesn't prove that the loan was paid or not. It just says that there was a loan that took place. And therefore, Migo is able to beat a shtar because it's not going against Eidos, because the shtar just says that the transaction happened. But the shtar is not strong enough to be able to prove that the money was not paid back yet. And that's why, says the Rishbam, we're going to allow the Migo to beat the shtar, because the shtar is just testifying that a transaction took place. It's not testifying about whether or not the item was returned. So we asked, what was the Havamina then of the Rishbam that a shtar is edus? I mean, it seems that's like very logical. Yeah, a shtar is just saying that such and such deal happened, such and such transaction happened. Of course it's not testifying that it was returned or not. So of course the Migo should be able to beat it. So what was this whole Shiloh, Migo, Mekom, Edel, Lomarino? What was this whole issue? So we saw from the Rosh Levitchik, the following Yisod, which ends up almost being an overkill, which we have to try to backpedal out of, which is as follows. He says, the reason why we had a Havamina that a shtar is Idus is because we know that a person, he brings two raya's, but we only focus on one of the raya's, which is because we know that a person is allowed to be motzi mamon with a shtar, because a person could come and say, shtar chabiyadi my boy. So says the Rav, yes, I don't understand. How are you allowed to be motzi mamon with a shtar? Shtar be'achal my boy. Isn't that just a rove telling me that there's a rove chance that you didn't pay back because I'm holding the shtar in my hand? And if you were to pay me back, you would have rifted up enough. You would have ripped it up already. So when a person comes and says, shtar chabiyadi my boy, that's just a rove saying that he wasn't paid back. But we know that a person's able to be gova using that shtar. So why do we say that if it's moti mamon, and as we saw from the beginning of this chazara, Shmuel says, ein hoch mamon achar rov. So why in the world are we allowed to be moti mamon with this shtar? So that's where the rov, the deltas, yesod, that a shtar is not just testifying on the transaction, but a shtar is mamish edus. Those Eden that are chasumin al shtar are not just testifying on that shtar itself, but it's saying that anything that's normal, anything that's natural, that's going to take place, will be able, these Eden that are testified are testifying to that also. And that's why the Eden chasima on a get are able to testify that it was also given over, once we see it's in the Biyad Ha'isha, because they're able to speak in general terms that this is naturally what happens, that I'm testifying that this is the get that was supposed to be delivered, and Mistama, if it's in the girl's hand, so those Eden are also testifying, they're speaking, their mom is there saying that this get was actually given over. And so too, by a loan, they're not just testifying that this transaction of $100 took place, but they're also screaming, they're testifying there in that moment that when the guy, the Mava, still has a shtar in his hand, that clearly the Lova didn't pay him back yet. They're also screaming and testifying on that. When a person signs a shtar, they're testifying to everything that's going to be natural and common for the shtar to take place. So we said if that's true, it's almost overkill. Because then that really is amigo makom edim lamrinon. It brings back the kasha and the Rishbam. How in the world can we say that amigo beats a star? If it's amigo makom edim lamrinon, and you can't give the Rishbam's answer right now by saying, oh, because a star is just testifying on the transaction that took place. Because we clearly see that no, star is also testifying on everything that's going to happen in the future. And it's testifying then that the guy didn't pay back because he has a star still in his hand. So Rebbe, I think it was like after Shir, when I asked this question, so he said no. He said, because perhaps we only say, the Rav's only saying his vort, that the Edis that are Chasumin al-Shtar are going to be able to testify all the way that something happened even in the future that's not necessarily written on the document is if it's pashut, if it's normal that it actually took place. And therefore, when a get is in a woman's hand, so it makes sense to say that, okay, Mistama, the get was actually given. Or if a document is still in the Mava's hand saying that he owed the $100, so it's Mistama, it's logical to say that he wasn't paid back yet, and that's why the Edom could testify to such a thing. However, if there's amigo going against the shtar, so then it's not so true, it's not so posh that these Edom could be screaming and saying, oh, it was paid back, because those Edom are only screaming on something that makes sense, something that's logical and normal that the shtar would be able to cover. But if there's a real good amigo going against it and saying that maybe there's reason to say that he actually did pay him back, so then those Edom wouldn't be able to be screaming out and to be saying such a thing. So again, that's now how that's the first answer in the Rishbam, though, that's to be able to back out of the almost of the overkill. But the simple answer, the first answer of the Rishbam about why we're able to say amigo beats a shtar is because a shtar just says the transaction, and a shtar doesn't testify also about the edus that it was returned or not, and therefore the amigos are going to be able to win, and it's not going to be an issue of amigo makom edim lo amrinon. Then we also saw a second answer with the Rambam and the Brisker Rav, with a diuk in the Rambam and the Brisker Rav, that perhaps we could say that a shtar is when a person has a shtar and a person that says shtar chabiyadi my bayi, the whole concept of writing a shtar in any transaction, any business transaction, is a schus mamun to the malveh. That every time there's going to be a suffix, so the shtar tells you shtar chabiyadi my bayi, the shtar is saying the malveh malveh, it's a schus mamun that the malveh is always going to be right. We're always going to go in favor of the malveh, unless we know vadai, that's not a suffix anymore, unless we know that it actually is not for sure a suffix, and we know vada that it really belongs to the lova. How would that be? So that could be accomplished through edus, or that could accomplish even through amigo. So we said perhaps that's maybe the nekusa suffix over here about whether or not amigo is strong enough to act like an edus, and therefore there would be no suffix anymore. And because there's no suffix anymore, we're going to be able to rule towards in favor of the lova. Or do we say that no, it's not strong enough of his edus, and therefore because when the malva comes with the shtar and it's just a schus mamon, so that shtar is going to be able to be powerful to be able to override it. But if you hold that the migo is as strong like an edus, then the migo will be able to override the shtar because that's telling you that really it's getting rid of the schus mamon that the malva originally had with the shtar, and it's saying that really it belongs to the lova because it's the equivalent of having an ed on the lova side. Then we saw, lastly, the third answer, Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Rabbi Akiva Eiger said, Shtracha B'yadi my body is able to be Motzi Mamon. And why do we say Shtracha B'yadi my body is able to be Motzi Mamon? Through an Anan Sahadi, that when a person is holding Shtar in his hand, so it's a logical conclusion to assume that he wasn't paid back. And that's why he's able to be Motzi Mamon. So then you're going to ask, what about Shmuel? Ain Hochem Mamon Acharov? Okay, we saw answers to that question. We could fall back to the Beis Adam, that's a robe of Vados, and that's the Anan Sahadi, and that's why it's going to be able to work. So really, according to Rabbi Akiva Eiger, the whole Shaila, the whole Dion in these sugyas is whether or not Amigo could be an Anan Sahadi. It's not necessarily, could Amigo be a star Chal B'Yadi Mabayi, but really the subject is, could Amigo be an Anan Sahadi? And we see from Bobash Daf Ayin that it will be able to be an Anan Sahadi. So those are three approaches over there. And then lastly, the Gemara in Ksubis on Daf Yotes. We say that if someone is a mode b'shtar shekasu, he admits that a star is valid, but that he paid back the star. So who wins the Din Torah? So it's a machlokas between Rav Nachman and Rav Huna. According to Rav Nachman, the lova will be able to win the Din Torah because the mava is coming, and the mava says, "You owe me such money." And the lova turns to the mava and says, "Yeah, I'm older b'shar shekatva. I'm older that I actually that's a good valid star, but I already paid you." So it's a machlokas Rav Nachman Rav Huna, who's going to win this Din Torah. According to Rav Nachman, we're going to say that the lova wins the Din Torah. Why? Because he has a good migo. Because he could have claimed mezuyof to the malva, and he would have forced the malva to go ahead and do kiyum shtaros. And therefore, because he claimed he was molded b'shar shekatva, because he claimed that it was a good star, so we're going to allow to believe him with this migo because he could have claimed mezuyof. Rav Huna says absolutely not, and that this migo is going to fail against the malva because the malva is coming with the star. And Amigo fails again, Shtar Chal B'Yadi my body. So the Ramban asks a very simple question. Isn't this the same Acholkes that we just have been discussing in Baba Bashadav Ayin about whether Amigo beats a star or not? Does Amigo beat Shtar Chal B'Yadi my body? Right? What do we have again? We have a Malva coming with a star, and he's saying, "You owe me such and such money." And the Lova turns to the Malva and says, "What are you talking about? I'm agreeing that is a good star that you're showing me. I'm agreeing to you that that is actually took place and it's a kosher star, but I'm saying that I paid you." Sure, Nachman says, "Oh, Migo, because he could have said that it was forged with Mizuyov and it would have made the Mava do Kiyum Shtaros. So we should believe him because the Migo should beat the star." And Rav Huna said no, that the Migo fails against Shtar Chal B'Yadi Mabayi. Because Amigo wouldn't win the Din Torah. So that's literally the exact shaila that we were discussing about whether or not Amigo beats a star Chal B'Yadi Mabayi or not. So why in the world do we not connect these sugyas? Why is the Gemara Ksubis Yotes tucked away over there? And there's no reference, there's no connection back to the sugya that we had and the shaila that we had about whether Amigo beats a star Chal B'Yadi. These are seemingly the same exact sugya. So we saw two answers within the Ramban. The first answer is very simple. In Achanami. Yeah, you're right. This could have gone either way, and really is the same exact sugya, and the Gemara brings it up twice. The Gemara pipples twice in two different scenarios about whether or not we're going to say that Amigo beats a Shtar Chal B'Yadi Mabayi or not. Answer number two, though, is that these are two completely different sugyas. The Gemara in Ksubis, according to Ramban, is a sugya in Pesha Asher Pesha Iter. But the Gemara of Basra, that's pippling about Amigo. What's the Pesha Asher Pesha Asher, Pesha Asher Pesha Iter in Ksubis? It's that Maybe we'll do the hakir now, which is that when a person is tomei mezuyof, right? Midiraisa, a star is always good. But Chazal later on were misakin that you should be able to be tomei mezuyof. So when a person is tomei mezuyof, is that tomei mezuyof, is that saying that the star was always good and that we give you a schus to be tomei mezuyof? Or is there a real chashash that people nowadays are going to go ahead and lie and be mezayif shtaros, and therefore Chazal instituted us to go ahead and to be tomei mezuyof. So we're going to go back to this chakira, put it in the back burner. But according to the Rav Nachman, he must be learning that what that according that a tanis that a star a tanis mezuyof a star is always going to be normally good until a person says mezuyof. And therefore, my bad, a star is normally not good because we assume that it's forged until a person is able to be Mekai in the star. And therefore, this is a Pesha Asher Pesha Hitter because, no, my apologies, the other way around. According to Rav Nachman, we're going to have to say that it's a good star, that Tanina Mizuyov is going to be a good star. And therefore, because it's a good star, when he comes and is not Tomei Mizuyov, and he says that this is going to be a good document, so we're going to go ahead and say, Pesha Asher, Pesha Hitter. Why? Because if it was not for him to say that it was a good, valid star, we would have assumed that the star was no good. So we wanted to know now, why do we believe this Pesha Asher, Pesha Hitter? So we wanted to know, why do we believe this Pesha Asher, Pesha Hitter? Again, that was I left it vague because I realized I tried to bring the Chakira too early. We're going to go back to it. But again, according to the second answer of the Ramban, is that the reason why we don't connect these sugyas in Ksubas Yates and to Babash Daf Ayin is because they're two different sugyas. The Gemara in Ksubas Yates is talking about a Pesha Asher, Pesha Hitter. So the question is, well, why do we believe a Pesha Asher, Pesha Hitter? So it's Machlokas Rishonim. Some Rishonim say it's because of a Migo. Migo that the guy could have been Shasak. From the fact that the guy opened up his mouth and decided to ask for something, so now we're going to believe him when he says something about the Heter. Pesha Asher, Pesha Hitter is simply because of a Migo. He could have been Shasak if he wanted to be Shasak. The Ramban, however, says no. The Ramban says that Pesha Asher, Pesha Hitter is a Nehmanus on its own. It's its own new Nehmanus. And therefore, that we believe a Pesha Asher, Pesha Hitter. It has nothing to do with a Migo. And that's why it makes sense, Lishitasa, that the Ramban is learning the Gemara in Ksubas Yates to be a totally different sugya than the Gemara in Baba Shadaf Ayin. Because he learns Pesha Asher, Pesha Hitter have nothing to be doing with a Migo. And that's why, according to the Ramban, the Gemara in Ksubas Yates and the Gemara in Baba Shadaf Ayin are totally different sugyas. Gemara Baba Shadaf Ayin is talking about Amigo, and that's the question: does Amigo beat a star? But over here, the question is: does Pesha Asher Pesha Hitter beat Star Chabi Adi Mabai in Ksubas Yates? And that's why they're not going to be equivalent. Why else are these sugyas possibly different? The Gemara in Ksubas Yates and the Gemara in Baba Shadaf Ayin. So we saw an approach from Tosfos. Tosfos says because the Gemara in Ksubas was machukas if there was even a migo in the first place. Everyone agrees the Chulyama and Babasha Daf Ayin that there was a good kosher migo. Everyone agreed. And now they were just trying to pilpul, does a migo beat a star or not? But over here, the machukas between Rav Nachman and Rav Huna is not, does a migo beat a star? They both agree that a migo beats a star. The question between Rav Nachman and Rav Huna is, do we have a migo on our side or not? According to Rav Nachman, we have a migo. Why? Because he holds that it's a good migo to be able to say, I could have claimed mizuyof. Rav Huna says, no, this is not a good migo, because to claim mizuyof is a migo de yare. A person is going to be scared to claim that the document is forged, because he knows that this mava could bring edim to show that this was actually a good star. So if this mava is going to bring edim to show that it was actually a good star, he's going to look like an idiot. So it's going to be a migo de yare. He's going to be very scared to go and testify and to say that this document was mizuyof. And that's why Rav Huna said that the migo fails us and Shtar Chabad Adi Mabai wins. Not because he holds that a star beats migo, but because he holds it's not even a migo in this case. And that's the difference between the sugya in Baal Basra and the sugya in Ksubas Yates. In Baal Basra, everyone agrees L'chol Yama that a migo is going to beat a star, as we saw earlier. And the question now in Ksubas Yates is it even a migo? According to Rav Nachman, it is. According to Rav Huna, it's not, because it's a migo de yare. Another possible answer that Tosfos gives as to why these sugyas are different is because Tanina Mizuyof is a Taina Midirabanan. Right? As we mentioned before, we only say that Midiraisa, we're not going to be telling Mizuyof for a person. That Midiraisa, we assume that a star is going to be kosher. And Midirabanan, we said later on in the years that we're going to be allowed to be telling Mizuyof and allow the Malva to go ahead and do Kiyum Shtaros. And therefore, the machlokas is, could we have a migo on this Tainus Mizuyof, which is just a Tainus Midirabanan? So according to Rav Nachman, you can, and according to Rav Huna, you can't. So Rebbe wanted to understand, Yesh Lachor, I don't understand, what does that mean? Why would there be machlokas about whether you could rely on a migo of Tainus Mizuyof on the Midirabanan level or not? So Rebbe said, Yesh Lachor, what Tainus Mizuyof is doing. Is it never really a Taina, and it's just a Chiddush? And therefore, it's a Takana Derabanan. Or do we say Tainus Mizuyof is a real Taina because nowadays people forge documents, which would be like Rav Nachman. And why do I say this? Because Rebbe quoted a Ran at the end of the Sugya that discussed about if we know that a father is allowed to come in and say that his daughter was Mikudeshes. So he wanted to know, why can't a father come and be Naaman to say that his daughter was captive, but that she was not Nevala and that she's Asur la Kohen? We should be able to believe him. Why? Why should we be able to believe him? Migo, that he could have came in saying that his daughter was married, but that his daughter got divorced, and she would also be Asur la Kohen. So we said, no, the reason the Ron there says, the reason why you're not allowed to is because it's a chiddush in the first place to for the father to be able to say that his daughter was married, because it's a karov in Davar Shever Pachos Mishnayim. It's a chiddush of Torah, as Bisi Natash Isha says, that we allow a father to go in and to say that his daughter was married. And therefore, you can't build a Migo off of Tainus Mechudeshes, because the whole concept of a Migo is, believe me, because I could have made an easier claim. So if a whole Taina that you're trying to make is a Chiddush Gadol, and then it's not such an easier Taina to make, because it's not really easier for the father to say that his daughter was Mechudeshes and was married and divorced, because that's a Chiddush Gadol in and of itself that he's able to make such a Taina. And that's why we're not going to believe the father to be able to claim that his daughter was captive and Asur Lekohen Migo, because he could have claimed she was Mechudeshes and Asur, because that whole claim of Mikudeshes is a Chiddush HaTorah, and you can't build a Migo off a Tana Mikudeshes, because that is going to be something that's not easier to claim. And so too over here, now to bring it back into our Sugya, to go full picture to where I struggled in the beginning to be able to tie it back into the Machlokas of Nachman Rav Huna in the second day of the Ramadan, but now we're going to try to do it again, which is as follows. We're going to say Yish Lakor by Tanis Mezuyov. If Tanis Mezuyov is a real Taina, is never a real Taina, because we assume that a star is always going to be kosher. A star is always going to be deraisa, and it's a chiddush haTorah that in later years Chazal decided, you know what, we're going to go ahead as a tikkun derabanan, as a chiddush, to go ahead and be misakin you to take that we're going to give the lova the schus to be able to be toin mezuyof, to be able to protect him. Or do we say that no, a tainus mezuyof is a real Taina nowadays? It used to be back then that people wouldn't forge stars, people were tzaddikim. Nowadays, 21st century, okay, you never know. People might go ahead and I shouldn't talk bad about our communities, but maybe a person might be able to say that a person could forge such a document. And therefore, it's a real Taina. So it must be that Rav Nachman was learning that Tainus Mezuyof nowadays, this Takanas Medarabanan, was a real Taina. And it's a real Tainus Mezuyof because there's a real chashash that people forge documents. And because there's a real chashash that people forge documents, so it's a real case of Pesha Usher, Pesha Hitter. Because before the guy admitted for the star to being a kosher star and that he owed money to the Malveh, he wouldn't have had to owe money because he had a good Tainus Mezuyof. The star was Becheskas Pusel, because we assume that most people are forgeries. And therefore, when he goes ahead later on and he says, by the way, I'm telling you now that it's actually a good star and I'm not going to be Torah Mezuyof, so that's Pesha Usher, because now he's being a mekabel upon himself to have to pay this debt. So now, Migo, we should be able to believe him, says Rav Nachman, Pesha Usher, Pesha Hitter, we should be able to believe him now that he says that he already paid it back. Because if it wasn't for him to say that it was Modish Bishtar Shekatu and he didn't admit to the star, we would have been able to have a good Tainus Mezuyof and declare that it was forged. So now that he's admitting that it's not forged, so he's the only reason why he's mechayim himself to pay, because otherwise he would have made the guy be mechayim stars and find some edus, and if he wouldn't have found edus, he would have been off the hook. So now that he comes himself, that's a pesha usher, pesha hitter. He himself is saying that it was a good star, and that's why Rav Nachman says that this is a sugya of pesha usher, pesha hitter. And as we said, according to the Ramban, he doesn't learn that pesha usher, pesha hitter to be lumdis mitam migo, but as its own animus by itself, and therefore it's a different sugya. But Tosfos now, again, within Rav Nachman and Rav Huna, is also learning, using the same Chakira, it comes all back in a full circle, that it must be that Rav Nachman learns that Lishitaso, that a Taina of Mezuyof is a real Taina nowadays. And therefore, he holds that you're allowed to go ahead and make this Migo that is a Mezuyof, because it's a strong enough Taina to claim Mezuyof, because it's a real Chashash. But according to Rav Huna, he holds that this Takana Midirabanan is only a Chiddush HaTorah. It's only a new thing that we normally believe that these documents are kosher all the way through. And it's a Chiddush Gadol that we allow a person to claim Tainus Mezuyof. And because it's a Chiddush Gadol, so you're not allowed to build a Migo off of Chiddush Gadol. Just how we said you're not allowed to build a Migo off of the Taina of the father to say that his daughter is a Mikudeshes. So too, we're not allowed to build this Migo to say that this person has a forged document. And that's the machlokes between Nachman Rav Huna and how we can understand why the Gemara in Ketubas Yutes is actually different than the Gemara in Baba Basra Daf Ayin. Okay, those were the sigas of Reish Lakish on Daf Hey. If you have any questions, please let me know. That was clear, and you guys should have hatzlacha in continued studies and chazara for the bechinas.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Right,
thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.